In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Excellence. Welcome back into another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Bo.
And this is Dallin. Guys, welcome on in. It's a beautiful day, Mitch. I hope it's a, you know what? I was going to say, I hope it's a beautiful day where you're at, but I know you, my friend. And that means that no matter what the weather looks like outside, it's a beautiful day in the world of Mitch Dodd.
You only get 365 of these a year. There's no sense in having a bad one. It's a beautiful day. I got to be an uncle for the second time.
Yes.
Parker Brooke, welcome to the world. My second niece is here. So,
yes. Congrats.
It's a
Kiana
beautiful
Kiana and Tanner, amazing.
It's a beautiful
amazing. Day. That is awesome. And, you know, Mitch and I, as you know, just hardcore funkles, you know, and having no kids of our own yet, you know, we really take that role seriously. I know Uncle Mo over here, you take your job seriously. Trust me, as Tio, as my nieces and nephew know, I take that seriously. We love adding to the nieces and nephews. So, yes, congrats, Kiana and Tanner. That is awesome. Congrats to your family, Mitch. Great times.
Oh, good. It's always fun to have a new little one around. So
that is great. That is great. Well, guys, we've got a fun podcast in store. If you've been a listener of the Sports Hour for the 4 years that Mitch and I have been doing this, you know that this time of year comes an episode. And every year we do the same episode. It's our favorite episode. It's our inaugural episode. You love that. 4 years in. And we're still just, you know,
we don't know what the hell
word
we're
vomiting.
Doing. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Inaugural episode was a way too early NFL predictions where we went to our favorite website, our friends at playoffpredictors.com, and shout out to them for having an updated website. Talk about a glow up.
Jeez. Got all sorts of bells and whistles now.
My goodness. What's it, a Tesla? My goodness, it'll drive it, you know, it'll make the picks for you at this point. Yes, playoffpredictors.com, our friends over there, they help us make game by game picks for every game of the 2022-2023 season. And so today, folks, that's all we've got for you today is our way too early NFL predictions, because we like to go in depth. We're going to go team by team. Division by division, we have a record prediction for every team. And obviously, this is some way too early stuff, right? So, you know, naturally, this is an opportunity for Mitch and I to sort of react to the way that the offseason has unfolded, whether it's free agency, the draft, anything in between, coaching hires, et cetera, and sort of gauge where the landscape of the NFL sits now as we enter the summer. Training camps will come, you know, later in the summer. We've got rookie mini camps right now, you have mandatory OTAs in June. And so this is a good time to sort of reset where the landscape of the NFL is and start staking claims on certain teams, maybe certain players, maybe who's going to be good and who's not going to be good. We love doing this, Mitch. It is like my favorite episode that we do every year. It's so much fun. That's what we've got in store today.
Yeah. I mean, it's our perfect opportunity to overreact to how bad we think a team is or how good we think a team is, because we're going to have some takes that may be way too rich for our own blood, but we're going to take them anyway.
Right.
And like, I'll tell you right now, I have a 15 win team on this. And I don't feel confident that that's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
So like,
that's the fun of it.
That's the fun of it though, is we get to break that down and kind of dissect what we actually are looking for here. But yeah, it's my favorite episode that we do every year. It's fun to go back at the end of the NFL season, look back at our way too early and see how far off or how close we were to some of our takes in May come the end of the season in February. So tons of fun. And my favorite episode to do by far.
Yeah. So let's not forget that last year at this time, Mitch, you know, you had, I'm pretty sure that's when you had the Seahawks winning Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
And I had the Bears in the playoffs, I believe. Yeah, I mean,
Or maybe that was the year before. I feel like every year Mitch has the Bears in the playoffs. So just pencil that in now, guys. If you're playing, you're way too early. Bingo for the Sports Hour. The Bears making the playoffs. You could just circle, highlight that box. That's a given. We actually put that right in the center. It's like the star one that everybody gets when you start your bingo game.
Oh, it's the free space? Oh, man.
Free space. Mitch has the Bears in the playoffs in May. That's all righty, my friend. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into it. We'll start in the AFC, and let's start in the AFC East. So how we'll do this, we'll go, again, division by division, team by team. I'll give you the way that the standings looked last year, and then we'll get into our predictions for this upcoming season. So starting in the AFC East in 2021, the Buffalo Bills won this division with a record of 11-6. The New England Patriots also made the playoffs as a wild card team at 10-7. The Miami Dolphins just behind them there at 9-8. And then rounding out that division at 4-13, the New York Jets. Mitch, I don't believe that we are going to differ on the team at the top of this division, right? I believe that we're both going to have the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, we are definitely going to have the Buffalo Bills. And this was that aforementioned 15-win team that I mentioned. So,
wow, okay.
Look, and a little bit too rich for me. But I don't think it's too far off. I think that on the low end, this is an 11-win team. And I think on the top end, it's a 13-14-win team. Love Josh Allen. I believe that right now he is the best quarterback in football. Might be a little bit of a spicy take, but I don't think that it's too much of an argument that you need to make to prove that. He still has his number one weapon in Stephon Diggs. And I loved their acquisition of James Cook, the running back out of Georgia, I think eventually take over that backfield. And I think that Devin Singletary showed a lot of life there in the back half of the season. But I would love to see James Cook get a significant workload, Devin Singletary be that complimentary piece, and then just get Zach Moss out of there. Guy's garbage. Just get him out of there.
Just get him out. Yeeted. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. I love what Sean McDermott has done with the Buffalo Bills over the last 2-3 years, and I think that they're definitely headed in a they're going to continue to head in the right direction here. The Bills, this is their division to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I had the Bills at 12-5 winning this division. They were the 2 seed in the AFC for me, and I think with Buffalo, this is a team in their window, right? They have a quarterback on a rookie deal. They've built the team around that nucleus. They brought in Von Miller this offseason, which, they're paying him a good amount of money. It is, some of the numbers are a little funky there. It's really like a 2-year deal. It's not too bad, but they're trying to win now. And this is the time. I thought they did a great job in the draft, as you mentioned, adding guys like James Cook, even Khalil Shakir, the Boise State wide receiver in the 5th round, just adds depth at an already talented group of wide receivers, highlighted by Stephon Diggs. And then I really liked adding a corner in the 1st round, and Kyir Elam. I thought corner was the spot that they needed to go on defense. It seemed like the biggest need to me, and they added a great young player alongside Tre'Davious White there on the outside. So I think this is the window for the Bills. This is the time. It needs to work this year, right? And when I say it needs to work, I mean they need to get to the Super Bowl. Like, you don't need to win it this year, but you need to get there. You need to get past Kansas City, and you need to get to the Super Bowl. Anything other than that is a failure. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I think I'm a little bit tougher on the Buffalo Bills because they've had the talent to do it for the last 2 years.
Sure.
And they just they fell short.
Still inexperienced young quarterback, though.
Sure.
You know what I mean? We're talking third-year Josh Allen or even, you know, fourth-year Josh Allen. You could make excuses then, but the excuses are kind of dry now.
Right. And the good thing for the Buffalo Bills is you mentioned the window just opened for them. Like, they have, I think, a lot of time with this team because they're very young and talented, that this is just the beginning of the window for them. It's not like they have a 1 to 2 year gap they can get this done. They have multiple years where they could still go get this done. So, yeah, I mean, clearly the favorite in the AFC East, clearly.
Yeah, no doubt. Last year, the Patriots were the other playoff team out of this division, again at 10-7. Mitch, did you have another playoff team from the AFC East?
I did. I had the Pats sneaking in the 7th seed, at 9-8. Look, we had this conversation about the Pats last year. You know, rookie quarterback, lost Tom Brady, not enough supporting pieces around a young rookie quarterback. Are they going to be a serious competitor in the AFC East? And we, the conversation went back to the same guy, Bill Belichick. When, you know, can you really doubt Bill Belichick and what his ability to lead a team, you know, can you really doubt his ability to do that? And look, Mac Jones was fine. He had a good rookie year. He wasn't anything spectacular, nor do I expect him to do anything spectacular this year, but it's a Bill Belichick-led team, and they're going to play great defense, and they're going to do just enough offensively to put themselves in a playoff position. So, I mean, I had other teams that could sneak into that 7 seed. In fact, I'm looking right now at least 3 other teams with the same 9-8 record that could sneak in there, but I had the Patriots in this scenario just sneaking in at 9-8.
Yeah, you know, I get that, Mitch, and obviously this was a team that made the playoffs last year, and this was my worry with the Patriots, because I did not have the Patriots making the playoffs. In fact, I had them last in the AFC East, and listen, again, we talk about the records, and the records could be a little screwy, because we're sort of going off a of vibe, right? In reality, do I think this will be their record next year? No, but I did have them going 6-11. I think 7, 8, 9 wins, that's probably more realistically the range. 6-11, maybe the low side. But I guess my issue with New England is that last year was the ceiling for what rookie contract Mac Jones is going to be with the team that they had around him, right? They had a very solid offensive line. They were able to run the ball pretty well. They had a really good defense, and they won 10 games, right? And there were games, I mean, think back to that Buffalo game where Mac Jones threw what, like 3 passes, right? I mean, they were like actively not trying to put their rookie quarterback in disadvantageous situations, which is exactly what you should do.
That was the heavy snow game?
I believe that was the heavy snow game, yes.
Okay.
So when you have this rookie quarterback, and what we saw last year from this team was, in my opinion, the ceiling of what we will see. And unless that they improved the roster significantly in the offseason, I don't think it can get any better than that. And they didn't. They just didn't improve this roster in the offseason, especially in option pass catching options for this young quarterback. His starting wide receivers are Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, and Devontae Parker. Right. I mean, they overdrafted Tyquan Thornton in the 2nd round out of Baylor. Super speedy kid, but super thin frame. I mean, just it was not a 2nd round value at that point. I mean, they overdrafted on Cole Strange. And again, like if these all hit, it's great. But how much are we just giving credit to Bill Belichick? And are we forgetting, Mitch? And I bring this up because I do think this is something that I have not thought about at all until we started doing this exercise. The impact of no Josh McDaniels, like what is that going to be, right? Because it's been a long time since we've seen Bill Belichick without Josh McDaniels, right? And like he still had success. It's not like, you know, he couldn't have success without him, right? But McDaniels has been there for a very long time, and he was there last year with Mac Jones. So what is changing offensive coordinators in a 2nd year of a young quarterback's career going to do for his development? Is it going to be a little slower as he adjusts to a new system? Does the offense take a step back with a different play caller in mind? So I think all those factors to be said. I think the Patriots are going to be worse next year than they were last year. Is that more like 8 or 9 and 7 and 10? Probably, but for this exercise, I had them 6-11 and again, last in the AC East.
I just want to double check because I think I heard you say this. Mac Jones last year hit his ceiling for his rookie contract as far as performance goes.
I said the team hit their ceiling, the team, not Mac Jones. The team hit their ceiling with Mac Jones on his rookie contract unless they improved this roster, which they didn't. Right. Like if they were to add a number one option, which is something we talked about in the offseason, you know, if they added Garrett Wilson or an Olave in the draft or they went after a top free agent, you know, I would feel better about the situation. But yes, I think Mac Jones on this rookie deal, as he's still developing into whatever he will be, right, they need to put as much around him as they can. And I don't think they're doing that.
Okay. No, I'm glad I reiterated with you because I was like, I think he can do better, but you know.
But yes, yeah. So that's where I'm at on New England. You had them again as the seven seed in the playoffs, wild card 9-8. I had them last in the division. I did have another playoff team from this division though.
Oh.
And it wasn't the New England Patriots. Mitch, I had Miami sneaking into the playoffs as the seven seed.
That's gross.
With a 10-7 record. And listen, Mitch is going to say that's gross and he'll sit here and he'll do his little thing. You know, he's a Tua hater. He hates lefties. It's fine. Like we get it, Mitch, you know, it's a tired shtick. Get over it. You know, it's just a left hand, but he's an Alabama guy. If anything, I thought you'd be all over it. Here's my thoughts on Miami. The defense worries me because of the absence of Brian Flores, right? Not like the talent has decreased by any significant measure or that, you know, it's gotten significantly worse, but that Brian Flores is a very good defensive coach and we know that, right? What does this new coaching staff do with this defense worries me a bit, but this offense is going to be significantly better, right? And not just because they brought in Mike McDaniel, who comes from the Shanahan offense, who's going to implement that into Miami, which will fit perfectly what Tua Tagovailoa does in his skill set as a passer, but they also added top tier talent around their young quarterback, trading for Tyreek Hill, signing Teron Armstead in the offseason, to the point that you have what you should have is at the very least an average to above average defense, and at the very least an average offense. Well, that's probably about a wild card team, right? I mean, that's probably about a wild card team, and that doesn't even bank in any progression from Tua Tagovailoa, who was the fifth pick in the draft just a few years ago, who has shown promise, but has not been put in a great situation with offensive play callers in Miami. So will this change with Mike McDaniel? Will Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead, this sort of improved offensive line and improved pass catching situation around him? I mean, listen, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, that's two really good guys to be able to just dump the ball off to and make plays. And I think Miami's going to be able to do that. I don't think they're like a great team. 8-10 wins is probably the range I see them in, but I had them going 10-7 and sneaking into the playoffs as a seven seed. I had a couple other 10 win teams miss the playoffs too. So Miami gets in over a couple other teams we'll talk about later, but I think they're going to be in that mix for a wild card seed.
Look, the run game is a mess. Okay. The run game is a mess. You mentioned Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Great receivers. Love them. Doesn't matter if you don't have a guy that can get him the football. We've all seen the video of Tua vastly underthrowing us on a deep ball to Tyreek Hill. He doesn't have the arm. And I'm not knocking any football IQ, ability to adjust, whatever, of Tua. I just do not buy this guy. Just do not buy it. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's lefty, by the way. I pointed out one time that there weren't a whole lot of successful left-handed quarterbacks. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's lefty. I just don't buy the Tua experiment. I can't get in on that. And look, the loss of Brian Flores is obviously going to be detrimental to the defense. Still probably going to be an above average defense because of the talent that they have on that side of the ball. But man, the quarterback is so precious to the success of an NFL team that I just really don't buy that Tua is the guy. I got him going 7-10. That feels about right. Maybe an 8-win team, but you know, I cannot get behind Miami, especially playing in a fairly competitive division. I don't think that it's going to be, that Buffalo is going to have any issue winning this division, or that New England's going to have any issue with the teams in this division, but it's going to be competitive. I can't buy in on the Dolphins. So like putting him in a playoff, even in a wild card, just feels icky to me. I can't get it.
Yeah,
on Miami.
I mean, we'll see about Tua again, third year for the quarterback, out of Alabama, and he hasn't been bad. Like anyone who wants to tell you Tua has been bad, like, I mean, he has not been bad, right? But what is our standard of what
overall pick? Good.
Well, of course, exactly, and that's what you're hoping you're going to get out of him now with Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead. I just want to make one little point before we move on to the Jets here about the narrative of Tua not being able to throw the deep ball and how it's a waste of Tyreek Hill. Last year in 2021, with Tyreek Hill was on the Kansas City Chiefs, who have Patrick Mahomes, who can throw the deep ball. The Chiefs threw almost twice as many passes to Hill at or behind the line of scrimmage, which was 27, as they did 30 yards down the field or deeper, which was 16.
Well,
so
sure, because
they targeted him more at the line of scrimmage on the Chiefs than they did, you know, on those deep passes anyways, which is exactly what you'll see in this Miami's offense, if not even more so, right? It's exactly what Miami did last year with Jaylen Waddle, who is a great deep threat in his own right, but also a guy who, again, you get him the ball on a quick route, you let him get some yak, and it's an easy offense. Those are throws Tua can make. Those are places he can absolutely succeed. You're not going to ask him to throw the ball 50 yards down the field to Tyreek Hill streaking every play. Like, that's not the offense. So I do think it's going to work. I am confident that his skill set fits well with what they'll do on offense and the weapons that they have. But again, we'll see. And Miami certainly needs him to make that leap, or they're going to have a decision on their hands as far as the quarterback goes. Mitch, the Jets, final team in the AFC East. What did you have them going record-wise?
6-11. Had him going 6-11. Yep. I think we'll see a leap from Zach Wilson. I still don't think that he has enough around him to get anything done, but I think we'll see a better Zach Wilson. We'll see a healthy offensive line come back. I know that offensive line was banged up. Mekhi Becton, I believe, had some health issues last year. He'll be back healthy, ready to go. I still believe in Zach Wilson, and the addition of Breece Hall is going to be instrumental for the New York Jets. Not just in the run game, but in the pass game as well, because the guy catches a lot of balls out of the backfield as well. Kind of a Christian McCaffrey type, if you will. So with a little bit of size. So love the New York Jets in about 4 years, three, 4 years.
Wow.
But
good for Robert Saleh and Jets fans. He might not make it that long. But,
but I think we'll see the leap. I think we'll see a little bit of a leap out of the Jets and Zach Wilson and some improvement at the very least. They're not going to be as bad as they were last year.
Well, you certainly hope not. And I had the Jets going 8-9, which I do think is about probably like the ceiling. Maybe 9-8 would be like the real ceiling, where like they kind of flirt, you know, there with the wild card. But I went 8-9 because I do think we're going to see an improvement. I think health is going to matter this year. And this was not a healthy team, especially on the offensive line, especially in the pass catchers. And when you're already a bad team with a thin depth chart, you can't afford to get to the third string guys, because they're, you know, we're talking about practice squad players, and that's what it was for large parts of the season for the Jets. So obviously health is a concern, but I mean, just the pieces they added: Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall. I mean, these are just foundational pieces that are going to help the foundational pieces they've already acquired. Zach Wilson now has an above average offensive line, an above average receiving group, a great running back tandem, and Michael Carter and Breece Hall. I mean, this should be a competitive, fun team that wins a couple games they shouldn't, you know, kind of flirt with some wins and sort of, you know, make that next step in the right direction. I'm right there with you. I'm seeing a little more high side there on 8-9, but yeah, I'm with you there on the Jets. Mitch, let's jump over to the AFC North here in last season in the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals won this division with a record of 10-7. The Pittsburgh Steelers made the wild card at the record of 9-7-1. The Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens finished 3rd and 4th in their division, respectively, with records of 8-9. Mitch, do the Bengals repeat as division champs this year, or does somebody else stake that claim in 2022?
You're damn right they repeat. I got them going 12-5, 3-seed in the AFC. Probably on the a little bit closer to the ceiling on the 12-5. But look, they had one glaring need. It was offensive line. And they went out and they addressed that. They got it done. I think if Joe Burrow gets sacked 40% less than he did last year, they can get at least 2 more wins out of this team. So I love the Bengals winning this division. I have them at 12-5. Again, like I said, maybe that's closer to the ceiling. But they're the team to beat. They're the team to beat in this division, and they should maybe not waltz into a division win, but be pretty competitive to stay at top for the majority of the year and to be there at the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, I had the Bengals going 11-6, finishing tied in record with another team, but not winning the division. So they earn a wild card spot. They were the 6th seed again at 11-6. But I'm right there with you on Cincinnati, because again, that glaring need was the offensive line. And you know, they bring in Lyle Collins, they sign Alex Kappa, they sign Ted Karras. And you hope with second year growth. I mean, just that in and of itself just elevates the floor of your offensive line, which was so bad last year that you could only go up from there. And that is a positive thing. I do worry a bit about the defense, which when it came playoff time, played well enough to make the Super Bowl, obviously, right? But was not that great of a defense throughout the season, right? Really just came on at the right time, which we do see. And can that be repeated over the course of a season? You know, can Trey Hendrickson be as productive as he was last year, right? You know, can Daxton Hill, the first round draft pick out of Michigan, who's going to play, you know, slot corner, you know, type role there, maybe outside corner, you know, what kind of impact can he have as a rookie? And can you sort of repeat that same success that you saw towards either the end of last season and the playoff run? So that would be my concern on the defense, just because they didn't really get better. They retained a lot of those pieces, which is great, but still not the unit you're afraid of. It's really that offense and the efficiency from Joe Burrow that really scares you about this Bengals team. But yeah, I mean, they should be in the playoffs. They should be right in the mix there for the division. I'm with you there on the Bengals. Mitch, the team I did have winning this division, though, was actually the Baltimore Ravens, who again, also had a record of 11-6, but due to the tiebreakers, wins the division in this. In this case, they were the 4 seed for me with the Ravens. And I mean, this was a team that suffered so many injuries last year, right? That offensive line super banged up. I mean, they were down to their 4th string running back in week 1 last season, right? Lamar missed time. Wide receivers injured left and right. You know, this was a team that just couldn't catch a break in that regard. And yet somehow they were still 8-9 and still just, you know, just a couple games out, you know, just a game out of the playoffs, really, you know, when it is all said and done. So this Ravens team, we know what they are. They're very good. If they're healthy, they're going to be a playoff team. What's the ceiling for the team, I guess, is the question. Is this a Super Bowl team? I don't know this year. I don't think this is a Super Bowl team this year, but I do think this is a good playoff team this year, Mitch. I think trading away Marquise Brown opens this team up for a new style of play, maybe 2 more 21 personnel, right? 2 tight end sets, 2 wide receiver sets instead of more 30, you know, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, which a lot of the NFL does now. I think they will do more power formations, more passing in the middle of the field, less worried about the outside game, which Lamar has always kind of struggled with anyways. And I think that we're going to see Baltimore sort of lean on their strengths this year in 2022, lean on the run game, lean on Lamar Jackson on offense, and then on defense, just lean on all the talent, especially in the secondary that they added. I mean, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, and then they added Kyle Hamilton to that, and they added Marcus Williams in the offseason. I mean, this team is crazy good on defense. And if they could just ball control on offense and Lamar can make, you know, few mistakes and they limit, you know, his exposure, I think this could be a pretty good team. So playoff team for sure to me. I think they will be competing with the Bengals at the top of this division. And again, I had them making winning the division at 11-6.
Yeah, they were one of those 9-8 teams that I had that were close to competing with that 7 seed. I think a ceiling of 11 wins is probably where I put them. I think for the same thing that you mentioned about the loss of Marquise Brown, I think it kind of works against them, not necessarily for them. I think that Lamar, we know he can run the football, and we know when the Ravens are healthy, they can run the football. So what else can he do? He has to be able to open up, they have to be able to open up Lamar Jackson to throw the ball a lot more. And now his number one wide receiver is not there. He still got Mark Andrews, but can Rashad Bateman step up and be a true number one in that offense? It just seems to be a team that's going to be one-dimensional for a lot of the year, and that can hurt you in the long run when you're not able to step outside of your comfort zone and throw the ball and be aggressive and push the ball down the field. It's a passing league, and eventually they're going to have to do that, and I don't think that they have the core right now to be able to do that. And I question Lamar's ability to throw the football just because we haven't seen him do it exceptionally well since kind of that rookie year when he stepped in and threw the ball well for that, I think it was like a 6 or 5 game stretch there at the end of the year. So, I think the Ravens will be good. I think that 9-10 win range is more where I see them. I have them at 9 wins, just missing the playoffs. They're probably going to compete for a wild card, but I don't think that the Ravens are anything really to get too excited about. Not enough or too many holes in the offense, and it's Baltimore, so the defense is going to be good. That's their MO.
I guess that's where I would lean, Mitch, as far as like penciling them in as a playoff team over others. Because, I mean, first off, we're two divisions in and the AFC is just freaking stacked, right? I mean, there are going to be some so really good teams that miss the playoffs this year, right? So why are those teams going to miss the playoffs? Well, it'll be injury. It'll be other things. But when I look at just how good the defense should be on this Baltimore team, like that is enough for me to feel confident that like they'll be there, right? Is the offense, can the passing game get figured out without Marquise Brown? What does that look like? Can they truly run the ball the way that they did when Lamar won the MVP a few years ago? And can they do that at that high level again? I believe so, but like those are the question marks. But even if those remain question marks throughout the season, this defense should just be good enough to, you know, to put them in that conversation. And again, everything else sort of, I guess we'll see, but I don't think either of us look at Baltimore as Super Bowl contenders, though I obviously am a little more bullish on them, and I wouldn't be shocked if they made it there at the end of the season, but certainly need to see a lot of improvement across the board. Mitch, who did you have next in the division here?
Well, I actually had the Ravens finishing third in that division. I had the Browns also at 9-8, finishing just ahead of them. Second in that division and
also missing the playoffs
and also missing the playoffs.
I had actually Cleveland 9-8 as well.
Okay. So like,
we're on the same page there.
What kind of impact is Deshaun Watson going to make when he actually gets to play?
That's the question. Right. And I guess we should probably start by prefacing this. Did you take into consideration the Deshaun Watson suspension? And if so, like, I mean, how many games are we talking about? You know, how much of a factor was that for you when you were making these picks?
I had him sitting out the first 6, I believe.
Okay.
Which seems.
Yeah, I went with about the first 8. I went with about half the games is what I sort of figured. So, yeah.
Which is about, I think, where like that's the middle of the road suspension. Mm-hmm. It could be stiffer. It could be lighter. You know, you never know what the NFL, what suspensions are going to hand out to some guys. So, I think that and I believe Tyrod Taylor is going to be the guy that starts for. Is it Tyrod?
No. Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, Jacoby Brissett. Excuse me. They're the same person in my head. Because they're the same quarterback. I mean, they play exactly the same. Jacoby Brissett, I think, could get them a win or two. I guess I'm banking on the fact that Deshaun Watson steps in and wins them a lot more games. Is really what I'm banking on here. I don't think that they're a playoff team. I think they could sniff at a wild card, but they still have the dominant run attack with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They still have an above average defense, but just not enough's going to happen early on in the season for them to, I think, to get to a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately for the Browns in 2022, it's just going to come down to how much time does Deshaun Watson miss and how good can Jacoby Brissett and Kevin, and really Kevin Stefanski, how good can Kevin Stefanski be as an offensive play caller to mitigate the loss of your, you know, star quarterback? And that's ultimately what's going to determine how good Cleveland is, because they could be a playoff team. And obviously, if Deshaun was playing 17 games, they would be, right? And they would be right in the mix in this division race. I think in my opinion, they would be right there, right? But his loss and his absence and the undetermined amount of time that's going to be is ultimately sort of where I think we both fell on 9-8, right? Which is above 500, because they should be a playoff team if he were playing all 17 games. But since we don't know, you know, maybe it's somewhere in the middle. And so we'll see. But I mean, the sort of optimistic view, right, is you run the ball really well with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Your offensive line stays healthy. You don't really need Jacoby Brissett to do very much. And the defense, steps up in a way this year, right? The defense has been good, but can the defense step up to an elite level? Can Myles Garrett be Defensive Player of the Year candidate, right? They brought back Jadeveon Clowney. I think that's a great great to bring him back. They added a couple of rookies and Alex Wright, Perrion Winfrey in the draft. They traded for Chase Winovich. They've added on that D line, added Martin Emerson as a corner. They've got a good young secondary. Like, they've got a good young defense. If the defense makes a significant leap, really shows dominance early on, they could survive those Deshaun Watson-less weeks with at least 500 or winning record. And then, you'd certainly be in the mix for the division. So I think there's a number of outcomes here for Cleveland, depending on the Watson situation. And obviously we'll know that by the time the season rolls around. But I think it's fair for both of us to kind of throw them at 9-8 for now.
Yeah.
Hard to tell either way.
Yeah, it's very much a team where, like, it could go really bad or really good for them. It really could.
Right.
And so 9-8 just feels like the comfortable, like, all right, this is safe. put him at almost 500. Yeah, put him right there. This
right. Absolutely. Mitch, the last team in this division is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I had them going 6-11. Where did you have the Steelers at?
I had them going 7-10. So I'm right
7-10.
Yeah.
All right. And this is the thing with Pittsburgh, right? Obviously, no Big Ben. This is a reset. Kind of. It's not a rebuild. Certainly not a rebuild, but it is a reset at the quarterback position. Yeah. And it is hard to know how well this is going to go. I guess that's kind of, I'm sure kind of where we're both at. Is it going to be Trubisky or Pickett from the jump? You know, we will see. Either way, I don't think it makes much of a difference. This is a team that's going to rely on the run game and Najee Harris. But the issue is that their offensive line sucks. This offensive line is awful, Mitch. These are the starters at offensive line. Dan Moore, Kevin Dotson, Mason Cole, James Daniel, and Chukwuma Okorafor. That's the starting lineup there. That is a bottom five offensive line in the NFL. Like, I think that's pretty safe to say. And so if you're going to throw a rookie quarterback or a project quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky at that, behind an offensive line like that, and then hope that Najee Harris is just going to be able to carry you into, you know, an offense. I don't know about that. Listen, the defense should be good. Don't get me wrong. The defense is, they've got stars all on that defense, like whatever. But the quarterback position is a worry for me. And this offensive line is a big worry for me. So that's why I'm going to be more down on the Steelers this year.
I think that we'll only see Mitchell Trubisky for like the first five games.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Kenny Pickett time pretty early on. I love Mitchell Trubisky. He holds a special place in my heart.
Wait, you do?
He loves to kiss titties.
Okay.
You saw the tweet, right?
I think I have, probably.
Yeah, it was like an old tweet from like his high school days where like someone hacked it and said, I kiss titties or something like that. It was funny.
Man of the people.
Yeah, he's a man of the people. But look, he's just not a good NFL quarterback. And I think that he'll be a fine backup, but, you know, he's not a starting caliber guy. And I think it'll be Kenny Pickett time around five, you know, week five or six. And I think that's where we'll see them turn the corner. I think Kenny Pickett is super talented. I think he's got that high IQ, quick release. I think that he's going to be a guy that can step in and get more out of the offense than what Trubisky could. Now, that's all speculative, right? We haven't seen him play at the NFL level, but I think that he'll do enough to, you know, maybe play 500 ball once he steps in, and they'll stay at that 7-10 mark. But this is definitely going to be a team that's going to struggle. And it feels weird to put a Mike Tomlin team under 500 because Mike Tomlin's been so good with the Steelers over the last 15 years. But it had to happen at some point, I guess. It had to happen at some point. You can't be perfect all the time. And, you know, the Steelers are going to struggle. And, you know, this is going to be kind of the beginning of their rebuild stage.
Yeah. Certainly what it feels like. And, yeah, I'm with you there. It's hard to expect a quarterback, a rookie, to come in and be super competitive, especially when the rest of the division is just so talented, right? I mean, it's not like they're in a division with a bunch of scrubs. They're in a division where if Deshaun Watson's playing 17 games, that's three playoff teams in that division, right? Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, those are three teams that should expect to be in the playoffs. So not an easy task if you're the Steelers, no matter who you're trotting out there, quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, weird, like you said, to have Mike Tomlin going below 500. But at a certain point, just sort of the reality of the position the Steelers are in, and not a rebuild, but certainly a reset year in Pittsburgh. All right, Mitch, let's go to the AFC South. Last season, the Tennessee Titans won this division at 12-5. They were the number one seed in all of the AFC. After them, second place, 9-8, the Indianapolis Colts, just missing out from the Week 18 loss on the playoffs last year with Carson Wentz. Houston Texans, third in the division at 4-13, and in last place with the worst record in the NFL, Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-14. Mitch, I have a feeling that neither of us picked the Tennessee Titans to win this division in 2022, which may be a surprise because they've sort of been at the top of this division throughout the last couple years. But is that true? And if so, who did you have winning the AFC South?
I did not pick the Titans. In fact, I am a little bit low on the Titans. I had the Indianapolis Colts winning this division, 4 seed, 10-7. Look, Matt Ryan, it just seems like that he is primed to have a little bit of a career revival. I like what Frank Reich does at the helm when he's in a head coaching position. They have a good young wide receiver in Michael Pittman Jr. They have other things at his disposal around him. They have the dominant run game. Jonathan Taylor had an absolute breakout season last year. The defense is good, led by Bobby Okereke, probably my favorite name in the NFL right now. Look, this is a good team, and they're not going to wow you. They're not going to blow your socks off. They're not going to, they're not going to absolutely, you know, knock you on your ass and how exceptionally talented they are. They're just going to do a lot of the little things right, and they're going to be a team that's going to be in the playoff picture come season's end. And I think that they can win this division at 10-7, because quite honestly, I don't think the rest of the division is very strong. So, and the Colts are a good team. I like the Colts here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Mitch. I had the Colts going 11-6. They were the 3 seed in my predictions. And again, winning this division. And yeah, I mean, this just seems like the perfect storm for Matt Ryan. I expect a similar year to what we saw from Phillip Rivers, this Phillip Rivers-led Colts team just a few years ago, right, where they won about 10 or 11 games, if I remember right. They were a wild card team, and, you know, they're kind of competitive there. But, I mean, this team has Jonathan Taylor, who is emerged as the best running back in football, obviously besides Deebo Samuel, so I should say second best. But this offensive line is incredible. They can rely on the run game. And as you said, a very talented defense, a top half unit in the league for sure, and could be even better. And so the question mark is Matt Ryan and this receiving core, right? And Michael Pittman, great young receiver. As you mentioned, they spent a second round draft pick on Alec Pierce. still have Paris Campbell from a few years ago. Could he emerge into something like the Pat? Listen, it could be better, right? The pass catchers could be better, but I think it's enough to win on a team that's not trying to air it out every play, right? They have Jonathan Taylor and one of the best offensive lines in the league. They might have the best offensive line in the league. Like, you're good just running the freaking ball. And I think with Matt Ryan at his age, this is the perfect situation for him to have a reliable run game, a dominant run game, and just ask to do enough, right? With your experience, with your knowledge, to just do enough to win games when they need it. I think he's in the perfect spot, and I think Indianapolis found their perfect guy. So I'm going to be high on the Colts when it comes to, like, regular season, right? I don't think the Colts are a Super Bowl contender, but I am going to be high on them winning this division and being sort of at the top side of this AFC.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. They are a Super Bowl contender.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Because they just signed Nick Foles to a 2-year deal. He's getting paired back up with Frank Reich. They're going to do what they did in Philadelphia. They are a Super Bowl. Big Dick Nick is back, and he will lead the Indianapolis Colts to a Super Bowl if the cards fall right.
So what you're saying is Matt Ryan's getting injured like week 15 or whatever it was with the Wentz thing, week 16, whatever it was. Like, just pencil it in. Wentz is out. Ryan's out for the season.
He's having an MVP season. He gets knocked out, and Nick Foles steps in and leads him to a Super Bowl.
He's like, guys, I've been here before. I got this. I know. Let's go. Philly to Jelani Woods, you know, like instead of Trey Burton, it's Jelani Woods throwing the touchdown pass. I love it.
You've seen the meme of, like, the white guy arm and the black guy arm, and they're like grasping hands, like, that's Frank Reich and Nick Foles. Just like, let's go.
Yeah, they just do it. I love it, Mitch. All right, so we didn't have the Titans winning this division, and I'm assuming we didn't have them making the playoffs, but they did finish second, right? So I had Tennessee going 8-9 this year and missing the playoffs. Obviously, they were second in this division.
Yeah, I had them playing really poorly outside the division. I had 5-1 in the division, but 8-9 overall. Look, it's disingenuous to say that the Titans lucked their way in to their success over the last couple of years.
Is it?
But it's kind of what happened. It kind of is what happened. Look, Derrick Henry is an absolute stud, but a lot of people forget he was hurt for a good portion of the year. He did not play football for a good part of the year. And this is a guy with a heavy workload, a guy that's going to continue to get a heavy workload. They're going to run him into the ground, right? You know, he's going to get 760 carries a year, whatever he's getting. It's going to be something stupid like that. And look, it's just not sustainable. And I think that this is where the road ends for Tennessee. Not maybe for Derrick Henry, but I think for Tennessee, this is where they see the end of that window. And I just really don't like the idea that you can lean on one guy running the football for 150 yards a game and just then lean on your defense. That's quite honestly, like, very hit or miss. Like, they're good, but man, they give up. They have some bad games last year where they gave up a lot of points. And I can't buy into the Tennessee Titans. I think they'll be all right, but they're not a playoff contender in my mind.
Yeah, I'm with you there on Tennessee, Mitch, because, I mean, they just had such an odd offseason. And this is a team that saw a few years ago when Ryan Tannehill clicked and Derrick Henry carried them down the second half of that season. And it was, okay, we're in a window, right? We got A.J. Brown. We got Ryan Tannehill. We got Derrick Henry. We've got this Vrabel. Like, we're in a window. We got to go. And they've tried to do that over the last couple years. Even to the point that they were a number one seed and got the first round bye and didn't win a playoff game. And it just, the writing was on the wall, right? That even if you ran it all back, that this was probably the last year you could really expect to be sort of in that conversation, right? 2022 would be like that last year if you wanted to do all that. But they didn't. They traded away a 25-year-old wide receiver in A.J. Brown, right? They traded that asset away, and they kept everything else And yet at the same time, Mitch, you know what was interesting? You go look at the foundational pieces on this team, right? The way that they've built this team and then what they did in the draft, right? Think about the foundational pieces. A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Taylor Lewan. And then look what they did in the draft, right? They trade away A.J. Brown, but then who do they draft in his stead? A wish version of A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks, like literally the same type of player. You just hope that Burks becomes A.J. Brown one day. Well, you traded away the guy that already does it. But suffice it to say, they replaced Brown with Burks, right? They got Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. He's clearly not going to be there forever. So what do? They go spend a third-round pick on Malik Willis. Okay, love that for the future, right? Thinking ahead, that's great. Derrick Henry, you just talked about that, the wear and tear. When's he going to slow down? Spend a fifth-round pick on Hassan Haskins, the running back out of Michigan. Even Taylor Lewan at left tackle. You know, they're bringing in a guy, Nicholas Petit-Friere, to potentially develop into a tackle replacement. So while they didn't fully punt on this sort of window right now, they are also clearly looking towards the future and this inevitable reset. And I do think this team is in a good position to reset, especially on defense. They have a lot of good young players on their on defense, especially in the secondary. I mean, just look at you look through their secondary, Caleb Farley, Elijah Molden, Christian Fulton, Amani Hooker. I mean, they've invested some Roger McCreary. They just spent a pick on this year. So this will be a team in a couple years. I think they'll be able to turn this around quick, but this is going to be a down year. And then I would expect Tannehill gone, Henry gone, like boom, 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 like we reset. And hopefully in a couple years, we're kind of right back here. But I do think this is a down year for Tennessee. I'm with you there. And 8-9 felt like the right number.
It felt like the most lateral draft season of all time with Tennessee. Like it just, like they really didn't make, like you said, with the way they built this team and then the way they picked, it was so lateral the way they did it, almost like it's a soft rebuild. Like they're not willing to commit to the full rebuild. Just try to reload a little bit and take the down year
right.
Or two.
And like they're hopeful they win 11 or 12 games this year and win a couple of playoff games and then also be able to just move right on to Malik Willis and all these other guys next year.
It's not going to be seamless, though.
It's not going to. Yeah, it's just not going to work that way. Exactly. Yeah. I'm with you there. Mitch, third in the division. Who did you have?
I actually had the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I had them at 8-9.
Wow. Okay. Mitch bullish on the Jags. I had them third, but I had them 5-12. So okay. Let's talk Jacksonville.
Look, new regime. They don't have the distraction of the head coach there, right? The dirt bag is out of Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence actually gets to develop under a functional system. They get Travis Etienne back, which if a lot of people forget, did not play last year. He was hurt the whole year. He is going to play. In fact, they just announced he's going to be a full go for OTAs. So expect him to be fully back come regular season. Couple that up with James Robinson. The wide receiver core is very middle of the road, but you know what? I don't think that they need to have anything special. I don't think that you need to go out and try to buy winners right now. I think you need to build on what you have because you have a young core that you can build upon. 8-9 might be a little bit rich, but I think the Jags are headed in the right direction. And it started up top with the leadership, and they've rectified that situation. And now they're in a situation where they can actually put their players in a position to succeed. I like Jacksonville's odds to win 6-7 games. 8 might be a little bit rich, but I think that this is a team trending and headed in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, Mitch, I wish I was as bullish on the Jags as you. And I do think like 8-9 is probably like the ceiling. I definitely think that's like a possibility out there. I had them 5-12, maybe 6-11, you know, somewhere in that range. I do think they improve on last season, but we are just, in my opinion, we're expecting a lot out of a second year quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who is thrown into like arguably the worst position any rookie quarterback was in last year, like definitely the worst position any rookie quarterback was in last year, but maybe in recent history, right? Which how just dysfunctional the franchise was, how dysfunctional his head coach was. I mean, just the awful offense we were in. Like, I mean, it was all bad for Lawrence. And now he's got to relearn everything, right? New play caller, new play, new system, new player, like in a large part, new players around him. And I think like it's easy to say he was the number one pick. He's Trevor Lawrence. Like he'll figure it out and be good. And that might be the case. But man, that is a lot to expect for a kid who has already been set up to fail in Jacksonville in year one. So I am just going to be a little slower on the Jags. I think it might just take them a little more. And that is fair. And that is fine because Trevor Lawrence is put in a very bad position to succeed. I don't think this defense is going to be good at all. And I do not think that helps him, right? So it's going to be all on him in that offense. And I worry about that for Trevor Lawrence.
That's fair. That's fair. And I get that. Yeah.
But it's easy. I mean, he is incredible. Even with what he was given last year, we saw flashes.
We saw flashes of that's what Trevor Lawrence can do.
Right.
But we also saw a lot of bad stuff happen. And I don't think that was fully his fault.
Either. Of course not. Right.
So,
no doubt.
Yeah.
Mitch, Texans last in the division. I had them 4-13.
Yeah, 2-15 next year.
2-15. They lose more games next year than they did last year, Mitch. What?
Yeah, They're bad. Look, I like the long-term prospect of Davis Mills maybe being a competent backup quarterback. But, man, he does not have a whole lot to work with, and he is in a tough situation. Obviously, we know how dysfunctional the ownership in Houston is right now, and I don't think that helps him any. Just a tough situation for everyone involved with the Houston Texans organization. It's not a good place to be right now. I don't think that this team is very good. 2-15, I think, is just about right. I think 4 wins is generous.
I mean, they won 4 games last year, Mitch, so, you know.
Well, they didn't get any better in my mind, so.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, obviously the Texans are not trying to win games. I'm sure they love to, but they're not going to. This is a team in a bad spot. This defense is very, very sus, though. Obviously, adding Stingley, Jalen Petrie, those are great pieces to sort of build around there on defense. And I think the offense, I mean, looking at the offensive line, it's not too bad. It's really not too bad. There are worse offensive lines out there. The pass catchers, Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, John Mechie. That's not horrible.
I do like Nico Collins a lot.
It's not horrible, right? I'm not trying to buy. I had them winning 4 games. I'm not trying to buy the Texans, but you know, there are things where, okay, maybe the offense is like Davis Mills takes a leap and the offense is kind of good and Damian Pierce emerges as the running Davis back, Mills, you know, or so, you know, I don't know, but
if Davis Mills takes a leap, I will eat my shoe. Okay. I will. I mean,
that'd be awesome.
Yikes.
Yeah. Houston wants to be in the running for a top pick next year. Hopefully they get their way. Mitch, final division here in the AFC West. And let's recap 2021 last season in this division. The Kansas City Chiefs won 12-5 record for the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West. The other team to make the playoffs from this division was the Las Vegas Raiders with a record of 10-7. Los Angeles Chargers just barely missed out at 9-8, and then rounding out the division at 7-10 was the Denver Broncos. Mitch, do the Kansas City Chiefs repeat yet again as division champs in the AFC West?
I think they do, but it's not that simple. I had them at 14-3, and of course, it's a vibe check thing. I don't think that their schedule is really that tough. They happen to be playing also
besides all their division games.
I was going to say, and they play in the best division in football. Yeah. I mean, this is the best division in football. Outside of those 6 games, I don't think they play a super tough schedule. 14-3 is too rich for me. I think that 12 wins is more likely. Honestly, I'm more interested to talk about the teams below them because, like, the Chiefs are obviously recency bias would tell you Chiefs win this division by far. It's not even close. But that's not the way this division is built right now. This division is going to have four competitors, really, realistically, 4 competitors for a division title. All it takes is for one of these teams to catch hot. And I know that you could apply that logic to any division in football, but I think the AFC West more than any other division has four teams in it right now that could absolutely set the league on fire and win the division and have a deep run in the playoffs. There's four teams out of this division. Actually, on the Hill, I have four AFC West teams make the playoffs. I just missed the mark on my way too early predictions. I had three, and the fourth team in this division was the ninth seed, just missing on the last wild card spot. So the Chiefs win this, probably about a 11 to 12 win team, but man, it's not their division to lose. Like they're going to have some serious competition.
So if it's not their division to lose, then it means it's somebody else's to lose. Have them winning the division, so wouldn't that make them the favorite? Therefore, it is their division to lose.
I don't think so, because there's so many good teams. I think this is a truly wide open division.
Wide open. Okay.
Truly wide open.
I have the Chiefs winning this division as well at 13-4, and just by a game, by the way, and we'll get to second place in a second. But I do obviously am with you there that this is a close division, that there are very good teams in here. But I do think this is Kansas City's division to lose, because they have owned this division for the last few years. And yes, there are some new faces in this division. A lot of big names have been acquired by all the other teams in this division around them, but this still runs through Kansas City. It still runs through Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and they should still be the favorite. And I do think that they'll win. 13-4 was my record for the Chiefs. I am not worried. Is this weird? I don't know if it should be a bad thing or not, but I am not necessarily worried about the loss of Tyreek Hill. I'm not worried about it the way that I would for almost any other team losing that type of weapon. Like, I'm not worried about it the way that I'm worried about Green Bay losing Devontae Adams, right? Because what they did to replace him is they just added a bunch of guys, right? They added Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, they drafted Sky Moore, right? Yeah. And so you're like, we got Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, we just got all these guys, and George Kittle, and Patrick Mahomes.
Well,
it'll figure itself out, right? And they actually did something, which does make me feel more confident in the Chiefs.
You know what this is? It's the Tom Brady effect. You really don't care who's around Patrick Mahomes. Right. You're just that confident in Patrick Mahomes. He made Byron Pringle look really good. He's made Mecole Hardman look really good. And Mecole Hardman, I think, is a speedster that's a decent wide receiver, but he's a speedster, right? He's a special teams guy. And that's the Tom Brady effect. You feel so confident in Patrick Mahomes that you don't really care what else is around him, because it's Pat Mahomes and it's Andy Reid. And they're winners. So you're not wrong in that. You're not wrong in feeling that way, because I feel the same way with you. I really don't care who's around Patrick Mahomes. They're going to win games.
Yeah, and obviously this offensive line is stellar, still stellar. The offense will be fine. The defense would maybe be a bit of a worry, though I do think they added some great weapons. I mean, George Karloftis, Trent McDuffie, those are fantastic picks in the first round of this draft that are going to be huge. But will they pay off big in year one, or will those be guys in a couple years that you really see sort of coming into their own? I think that would be maybe my one pushback on the Chiefs and buying in, especially when it comes to the secondary, right? Because they lost Tre'Davious Ward to the Niners, and they replaced him with essentially Trent McDuffie. And I love Trent McDuffie, the corner out of Washington. You heard it here on the podcast. We talked about him in the Player to Know before the draft. Like, I big Trent McDuffie fan, but to expect him in year one to be your number one corner in a division with Justin Herbert and Derek Carr and Russell Wilson, right? That is like in a conference with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, et cetera. Like, that is a lot to ask out of a secondary that's going to feature Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed, Juan Thornhill, and Justin Reed, right? That's like, that worries me about the Chiefs. We haven't seen it hurt them too much in the past, because the secondary has never been a strength for them, but it's a little different this year, especially trying out some young players. So that would be my one pushback on the Chiefs, or my one sort of hesitation.
Man, you mentioned the quarterbacks there, but you didn't even mention the wide receivers or the receivers. Right. You're going to have Keenan Allen. You're going to have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You're going to have Devontae Adams and possibly, Waller. You're going to have Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Like, you're going to have big guys that you're going to have to guard. I mean, the quarterbacks are one thing, but the receivers you're going to have to cover. That's a whole nother issue.
Yes, AFC West is wild, Mitch. Who did you have finishing second in this division?
I had the Chargers finishing second. I think that Justin Herbert is an elite-level quarterback. He's a top-five quarterback in the league right now. He will be the spearhead to a 12-5 team for San Diego, and I think that they're the other one that's going to be a serious contender for a division winner in this AFC West. You're smiling. What are you smiling about?
You said San Diego and you didn't even notice it.
Oh, man. Los Angeles. Great. I'm sorry.
You just cruised right through it. the ghost of Antonio Gates.
Los Angeles Chargers, they should just go back to San Diego. Really, they should. But I have the Chargers 12-5. Justin Herbert, elite level quarterback. Great weapons, great defense. They just signed my boy Khalil Mack. I love you, Khalil. You'll have a special place in my heart forever, Bertan. But they're gonna be a serious contender in this AFC West division. I wouldn't be shocked if they won it.
Yeah, I mean the Chargers are gonna be a favorite this year from a lot of people, right? As they were last year, right? And they didn't make the playoffs last year, 9-8, and it was. I mean, I don't think we think back about maybe how disappointing that was. And I think that was a lot of too much expectation on a second year Justin Herbert. And I would expect it to be better this year and more of what we expected in 2022. But Mitch, I had the Chargers going 10-7, but I had them missing the playoffs. This was one of the 10-7 teams that missed the playoffs. In this tiebreaker with Miami, who I had as 10-7 as well, and getting in this scenario, they just miss out. And I do think the Chargers are going to be in that mix. I certainly would think it's more likely that they made the playoffs than they missed it. In this scenario, this is a lot to do with a really talented AFC and just not getting quite through. But, for the Chargers, I think the offensive line added the piece that they needed in Zion Johnson. I think that was a good move. I would have really liked to see them add another wide receiver weapon. I know that they brought back Mike Williams. They still have Keenan Allen, but they didn't add another weapon there that I really would have liked to see them add in the mid first round. That was something I was very high on. Justin Herbert is more than capable of getting it done with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Josh Palmer and Jalen Guyton. If those guys, develop into something, I think that's fine. This defense, obviously they added, as you mentioned, Khalil Mack. This is a very talented defense that just hasn't stayed healthy. I don't know if it's I do think this is a playoff team. So it's not me being I don't think the Chargers are going to make the playoffs. They just happen to miss out in there. But I think that's about right where they're going to be. 10 wins, 11 wins, sort of right in that mix. I don't see them going higher than that. I don't buy. I like Justin Herbert a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not in on. People are in on Herbert like he should be up there with Mahomes and Allen, and I'm just not quite there on Herbert. I'd love to see them make the playoffs first before we anoint this kid to be the next great thing, because in 2 years he hasn't made the playoffs, right? So how much does that matter? And I think the Chargers are cursed. So I don't it would not shock me if they won 10 games and missed the playoffs. That would be the very Chargers thing to do. So that's that's where I'm at. Again, I think they're a playoff team, 10-7. I think they're a good team. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Chargers, but that's sort of how it played out for me in my rundown here.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally justified in that. They might be cursed.
I mean, they definitely are cursed, right? Let's be real. They definitely are cursed. It's just a matter of how much.
You've seen that video of where they had the number one offense, the number one defense in the league.
And the worst special teams, and they couldn't make the playoffs. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Only the 2010 Chargers.
Only the Chargers could pull it off. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, get Justin Herbert out of there, okay? Get him out of there. Save him, or he's the next Phillip Rivers. The playoff team I did have from this division, because I actually only had two playoff teams from the AFC West.
Okay.
Only two. I had Denver earning second place in this division, 12-5 record for the Broncos, and they were the 5 seed in the wild card for me. I want to get an idea where you had the Broncos, and then I'll sort of go into why I had them there.
I had them 9-8 at the 9 seed, but this is the first team that I said that I think that of the other 9-8 teams I could have could be a 10-win team and sneak into the seven.
Sure.
And that would be where my fourth AFC West team would be at.
Okay. And okay, so you had them as the fourth team in the AFC West then, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, my thoughts on Denver are this. One, I am a big fan of Russell Wilson. I've seen a lot of people talk about this like second half from Russell Wilson in 2021, whether it should be a concern moving forward. Does he still got it? I'm like, do we not remember like just a year ago in the first 6 weeks of the season, Russell Wilson was putting up like MVP, like ungodly numbers. Oh, you know what I mean? Like
numbers,
he,
yeah.
Like it was it like this was not that long ago. And go look at that Seattle team now, and we'll get to Seattle when we get to the NFC West, but they do not project to win many games. So the only reason why they were any semblance of good was because of Russell Wilson. So I'm not going to take any Russell Wilson disrespect. You know, you can 1-2 step out of here with that shit. All right. We are team Russell Wilson out here. And I'm going to be in on the Broncos as a legit regular season team. We'll get to postseason a little bit later, but a legit regular season team. Going to make the playoffs, going to win some games. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, great wide receiver core for Russell Wilson. Javonte Williams is just poised for a breakout, just a huge season, I think, for the Broncos. And then on this defense, it is young. It's not the same defense that we're used to with this Broncos, and they made that Super Bowl run earlier, a couple years ago. But Bradley Chubb, Pat Surtain, those are sort of the foundational pieces. Justin Simmons. And then around them is just a bunch of solid players, right? I think the ultimate factor for the Broncos this year is going to be how good the defense actually is, right? Not just the projection of how good the defense could be, but how good are they? Can they be at least average? Because if they're at least an average defense with the talent on offense of Russell Wilson there, I think this is a double-digit win team and a solid wild card team and potentially pushing Kansas City in this division race.
So yeah, pretty high on the Broncos then.
Yeah. I'd say, and I had them again, 12-5 is probably about their ceiling. I would say 10 to 12 wins is probably the range I feel pretty comfortable with for the Broncos.
Yeah. I totally see that happening, but I did have a team above them. Okay. That I'm also high on.
Yes. And of course you are.
It is the Las Vegas Raiders. Big Raiders supporter. Look, big Derek Carr guy. Love Derek Carr. He's got the big weapon now. He still has Darren Waller. The run game, it's going to be interesting to see how much they use Josh Jacobs moving forward, because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, right? So, like, are they just planning to run Josh Jacobs into the ground and kind of get every penny they can out of him before he tests out free agency? This offense is going to be so, so good. The defense is still a question mark, right? But they have the new regime in. And what they were able to do last year with Rich Bisaccia stepping in as the interim head coach, all the dysfunctionality in that organization with their previous head coach. The defense, Gus Bradley was the defensive coordinator there. Not a very good showing from him, but that defense showed flashes of brilliance. That's still a question mark. I have them probably at their ceiling, which is 11-6, but I think that 10-7 is very doable for the Las Vegas Raiders, and I think that they'll get themselves back into a playoff spot. I have them at the 6th seed right now, whether that's a 6 or a 7, not really sure. Again, like I said, the Broncos could very easily slip into that 7th spot, knock the Patriots out, and I could have my 4 AFC West teams in there. But really do like this Raiders team. Love the possibility of what can happen with Davante Adams and Derek Carr, and it's going to be interesting to see how much they actually use Josh Jacobs. I did not like their draft pick of the one kid who was the running
the
back
running,
kid.
The running Samir White,
yeah,
out of Arizona State.
Not a big fan of that pick because it just
Georgia. Sorry, I was thinking the other White. Rashad White is the
Arizona State.
Samir White, the Bulldog. Well, that's why you don't like him, Mitch, of course, because the Georgia Bulldog, and you're salty about your Tide. Come on.
Fuck the Dogs, man. Roll damn Tide. you know, it's just It just feels like there's going to be a lot to look forward to offensively in this Raiders team, the new leadership of Josh McDaniels, but the defense is definitely going to be a question mark.
Well, I'm glad you're so bullish on the Raiders, Mitch. And I wish I could share the sentiment. I had the Raiders finishing 9-8, winning record, last in the division, and obviously missing out on the playoffs. And in certain scenarios, that might make the playoffs, right? You never know how these things will shake out. And I do think the Raiders will be in that wild card group, right? That group of teams that could potentially make it, things break their way the right way at the end of the season. But my worry with the Raiders are, I'll have a couple. One, it's the division, right? I had them going 1-5 in their division, right? 9-8 on the season and 1-5 in the division.
And I have them going 2-4. So
right, and that's again, and so 11-6 and 2-4 in the division, and that division record could really be the difference between them making the playoffs and not, right? Winning only one or two games in the division could be the difference between sneaking in at the 7th seed and missing out to another team. And so that's one thing I worry about with the Raiders. They are not the best they don't have a unit like every other team on this list in their division has a elite unit on one side of the ball or the other, in my opinion. In fact, it's the offense for basically all of them, right? I mean, the Chargers, it's like it could be the defense if it was healthy, right? On paper, it's a hell of a defense. The Raiders, though, they don't, in my opinion. Their offense is not elite. I love how bullish you are on this offense, Mitch, but you're bullish on the offense, and this is the starting offensive line. And, like, I just, like, for the – we just got to – I got to read the names because this is what worries me. Colton Miller, starting left tackle. That's the best offensive lineman they have. Jermaine Illuminor, Andre James, Denzel Good, Brandon Parker. That is the projected starting offensive line according to OurLads.com, which does a great job with depth charts and rosters. Very updated. That is not a playoff team. I cannot say that is going to be a playoff team. I really like Derek Carr. He's very underrated. Devontae Adams is going to make a huge difference on this team. And that trifecta of him, Renfrow, Waller, that is dangerous. But if Derek Carr don't have time to throw it and they can't run the ball because their offensive line is horrible, which is exactly what we saw last year. They couldn't run the ball because the offensive line was so bad and they sort of got by without it. I just don't see that happening again in a division that just got much better. So that is my worry with the Raiders. On top of that, the defense is suspect. I do like Patrick Graham as the DC. I do think he'll help. Chandler Jones, great addition alongside Max Crosby. That sort of tandem on the outside is going to cause a lot of trouble for teams, but that secondary is still super sus. The second level, super sus. And I just worry about the Raiders in that regard. So I still have them, again, over 500, 9-8. They should be in that conversation, but I'm just going to have them below all the other teams in their division for the time being, until I see something change. So that's kind of where I'm at with Vegas.
You know, I'm pretty bullheaded and stubborn, Dallin. I think you just talked me out of the Raiders.
Oh, really? Okay. I mean, I don't mean to. I don't want to change your mind.
Well, you did. Okay, so. Oh, man. Yeah, you made a lot of good points there. I'm going to stand by it, though. You know what?
You got it. I mean, listen, it's the way too early, baby.
Things are going to go right. They will emerge as a top half offensive line. The defense will be all right.
It'll work
good,
itself
be
out.
All right.
Yeah,
it'll all work out. They'll be 11-6.
Mitch, this is what you got to tell yourself. Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl with a bunch of scrubs at offensive line. If he could do it, then this Raiders team's got a shot, right? That's what you got to be asking.
Yeah.
The Bengals just proved you don't need a good offensive line to go to the Super Bowl. So yes, that is still true. So. Mitch, all right, so that's it for the AFC. Let's go over real quick. Just give me your playoff teams. Can you give me your playoff teams 1-7 seed in the AFC?
Yeah, so I have the Buffalo Bills at the 1 seed, the Kansas City Chiefs at the 2, the Cincinnati Bengals at the 3, Indianapolis Colts at the 4, San Diego Los Angeles Chargers.
Again. We need to have like a Mitch takes a shot every time he says San Diego or Redskins, you know? Like I just
I'd be fucked up by the end of the episode. The Los Angeles Chargers at the 5, the Las Vegas Raiders at the 6. I don't mess up Las Vegas. How do I not mess up Las Vegas? But I mess up the Chargers. And then the New England Patriots at the 7.
All righty. And then for me in the AFC, I had the Kansas City Chiefs as the 1 seed, Buffalo Bills 2 seed, Indianapolis Colts 3 seed, Baltimore Ravens 4 seed, Denver Broncos 5 seed, Cincinnati Bengals the 6 seed, and the Miami Dolphins sneaking in at the 7 seed. So that's it for the AFC. Before we jump over to the NFC conference, we're going to take a quick break and hit a mid-roll. And when we come back, we'll go division by division throughout the NFC and then give you our Super Bowl predictions. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Thanks for checking out the Sports Hour today. We appreciate you wherever you're listening. But if you haven't already, we recommend you check us out and give us a listen on Anchor.
Anchor allows us to provide the best product to you. You can go support the Sports Hour and become a permanent part of the show, like my saint of a mother, Sammy, and my father, David, did.
You can even leave us voice messages with your thoughts and opinions that we can use on the show. Prove to us that you know better than me and Mitchmo.
Moral of the story, people, be more like Sammy and David. Go find us at anchor.fm/thesportshour, guys, and become a part of the conversation. What the hell are you waiting for? Welcome back in to the second half of the Way Too Early NFL predictions here on the Sports Hour with Mitchmo and Dallin. Hope you enjoyed that little break. That was a lot of information to take in, and I know that me and Dallin need a little bit of a reset because we got a whole second half here to go. The NFC. Look, I got to be honest, Dallin. I got to get my head right back. You know, back in the mind, right? You know. I can't even speak anymore.
See, you're all out of sorts. We go away for 30-second mid-roll, and you come back, and Mitch is distracted.
Look, because I was on Instagram, and I follow a lot of hot golf chicks, and and I gotta be honest, I'm not a simp. I just think that they're very talented at golf, and I enjoy watching their golfing videos.
Mitch,
lots of birdies and pars.
Yeah. Lots of birdies and pars. Huh? Yeah. You know, I think it's funny. I think you are a simp, but that's okay. Listen, it's fine.
I'm not a simp.
All right.
If I was a simp, I would be like being able to tell you what course they played. I couldn't tell you that because.
Right. Or you'd be in their DMs being like, could I have your number? What's your WhatsApp? Can I have your Snapchat? That would be you.
Know. I would slide into DMs really hard. But, you know, I got a face only a mother could love. So.
Oh, no, it's. I love it too.
Oh, okay. So I got a face
only a mother and a podcast co-host could love.
You think my best friend likes my face?
Not even not best friend. No, I took best friend out of that. No, it's just purely as a podcast co-host.
We're
I like your face.
Colleagues right now. I forgot. Yeah, we're colleagues. Okay.
Yeah, take best friend hat off, Mitch. We're in professional mode, obviously. And speaking of professional mode, we should.
Let's just get back to the NFL stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so NFC.
I love you, Anya.
Way too early predictions. Mitch, stop simping. The NFC East. speaking of simping, I'm simping for some Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean? Give me some Eagles, huh, baby? All right. Let's first. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's first look at 2021. Okay. Last season, the Dallas Cowboys won this division. Record of 12-5. We all kind of forget because the Cowboys are ass. The Eagles also made the playoffs in this division, 9-8 with the wild card berth for the Eagles. Washington football team finished third, 7-10. And then the New York Giants finished last at 4-13. So, Mitch, I already gave the tease, so I'm going to just jump right out and say this. The Eagles are winning this division in 2022. It's not the Cowboys. We're team Fly Eagles Fly. We're team Jalen Hurts. In the NFC East in 2022, Mitch, how we feeling? You on board? You rolling? We flying? We flapping?
Flap.
We flapping, bro?
Nah, I wish you would say something different. Look, I love the Eagles. I really do, and I have them as a playoff team. I just don't have them in the division. I don't have them.
All right.
Now, here's
what's,
the deal.
What's the record, though, and what seed are they?
10-7, 5 seed.
5 seed, 10-7. Okay, well, actually, I had them at 10-7 as well. So we're on the same page as far as record goes.
Okay.
Look, I just had them winning the division. So.
And here's why I have the Cowboys winning the division, right? Because we're not talking about the Giants or the Commanders, right? Okay. We're not talking about them winning the division. We're talking about the Cowboys.
I mean, you had Washington win it last year, so, you know.
And I have the Cowboys actually at probably the richest I would ever put them for this division, which is 12-5, and that's absurd. I think that 10 wins all – I think that they – the Eagles and the Cowboys could both win 10 games. And the Cowboys would, you know, edge them out by like division, you know, head to head stuff, and they would edge them out. But here's the deal. The Cowboys are going to win the division, and they're going to do what they've done every year since 1995, is they're going to impress. And then what can go wrong will go wrong for the Dallas Cowboys come playoff time. And they won't be a factor. Something will happen. And it's not a knock on Dak. It's, I guess kind of a knock on Mike McCarthy. I think a little bit, a lot of it.
Come on.
big Mike is not the answer there. Jerry Jones is far too involved for an owner, and something will go wrong with the Dallas Cowboys, and they will not advance past the first round of the playoffs. And the Eagles will. I think that the Eagles can make a deep run in the NFC playoffs because they are just a better put together team. I think that the Cowboys will outperform them in the regular season, which is what they typically do anyways, when not led by Donovan McNabb or Andy Reid.
Or Carson Wentz
or Nick Foles. But look, something will go wrong for the Cowboys, and the Eagles will make a deeper run than the Cowboys will. But the Cowboys, I have winning this division, and honestly, is the 2 seed, and they will be the most disappointing 2 seed in NFL history. Put it on the books.
Wow. Okay. 2 seed, 12-5 for Dallas. And I had Dallas making the playoffs as the 7 seed at 9-8. And I think I felt pretty good about 9-8. I'm going to be honest, because of a couple things, Mitch. Here's my take on the Cowboys this year. Yes, they won 12 games last year. Dak is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. The loss of Amari Cooper is not going to hurt that much. CeeDee Lamb's poised to be the true number one guy. Michael Gallup is a more than capable wide receiver too. They also brought in James Washington out of Pittsburgh, drafted Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama in the third round, who I do like coming out of college. He's got a lot of potential there. It's Mike McCarthy. Right. I'm just not going to trust that that's going to go well, even if it means regular season success. As you mentioned already, it's not going to lead to playoff success. And the defense was fluky last year. There's no way in hell Trayvon Diggs repeats anything close to what he did last year, other than the horrible numbers in pass coverage. That's going to repeat. But the interceptions, that's not a repeatable stat. We've seen that in modern football. Guys just don't pull in high numbers of interceptions year after year after year unless they're truly elite. And nothing about Trayvon Diggs' game says he is truly elite, other than the gaudy interception numbers that he had last year. So that, on top of Micah Parsons, who absolutely just emerged out of nowhere as a superstar last year, which I believe we're going to see regress back a bit. I'm not saying he goes back to just being like an average player, but Micah Parsons was like a Pro Bowl level in year one, right? I mean, I just don't see all that happening on defense so well, which is how they won 12 games last year. It wasn't because the offense was just so unstoppable. The offense was great, but the defense was so much better than what we expected. And I see the defense taking a step back, and I see the Mike McCarthy effect sort of, you know, coming into play there. And I see it regressing a bit to still being a playoff team in a weak NFC, but 9-8 and not quite winning the division from Philly.
I'm not going to be that strong on Micah Parsons. Like I said already on this podcast in an earlier episode, he's the next Lawrence Taylor. Like I am that high on Micah Parsons. I think that he could be that impactful on a defense. I'm with you with the Trayvon Diggs deal. Like, you know, his efficiency numbers were really, really bad. Like, he made the big plays, but his efficiency numbers were terrible. So I'm with you on the Dallas Cowboys defense that they were fluky. Pardon me. pardon me again. That they were fluky, that there were more instances than not that they got beaten. And I can agree with you on that. Mike McCarthy is such a regular season performer, and you saw it in his days in Green Bay, even when he won the Super Bowl title in 2010, you know, they were a 10-6 team, I believe, 10-6, 11-5 team, won the Super Bowl, but they had that one year where they were 15-1 and got bounced in the first round. Like, they are a team that, you know, he's a guy that can lead a team to great regular season success, but him closing the deal, man, he only has one of those things on his track record over a long period of time.
And that was with Aaron Rodgers.
So, and
a great organization in the Packers.
And a great supporting cast. He had Jordy, Greg Jennings.
Jordy Nelson, and Donald Driver.
And he had, mm-hmm. you know, he had all these supporting pieces around. And I think they had a top tier defense at that point, too. So, you know.
Probably Clay Matthews in his prime at that point. Yeah.
B.J. Raji. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those guys. So, you know, Mike McCarthy's an issue in Dallas, and he's going to do great in the regular season, but they'll choke.
Well, and honestly, that's why I had them 9-8 still making the playoffs, because the talent is there to be a playoff team. And again, this NFC, like we talked about how good the AFC is and how, I mean, I had two 10-win teams miss the playoffs and multiple four teams with winning records in the AFC miss the playoffs. In the NFC, it might be the other way, right? And in the NFC, it might be a team with a losing record gets the 7 seed, right? I mean, it really could be like that. The NFC is much weaker, and I think Dallas sort of benefits in that regard, and Philly in the same way, that they'll both be playoff teams despite, you know, if they were in the AFC, you know, maybe not so much. So you had Dallas again, 12-5, 2 seed, winning the NFC East. I had them as the wild card team because I did have Philly winning this division at 10-7. So just a game up on Dallas, 10-7 for the Eagles, 9-8 for Dallas. So that makes Philly the 4 seed in this regard. So a game improvement from the year before on Philly. And you also had them going 10-7. And this team has improved quite a bit. In fact, Mitch, I think this could be even better. It just comes down to Jalen Hurts. It just comes down to how good Jalen Hurts can really be, because this roster is better than a 9 or 10 win team. It really is. They added A.J. Brown alongside Devontae Smith on the outside. Dallas Goedert at tight end. They are set. Offensive line, very solid offensive line. Very solid offensive line. You feel very comfortable there. And then on the defense, Mitch, I mean, not only it is older, right? Older guys, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, like these are some carryovers. Derek Barnett, right? Carryovers from some of the runs that they'd made, the Super Bowl run they made a few years ago. But then they add N'Kobe Dean in the draft. They add Jordan Davis in the draft, right? They signed James Bradbury to go alongside Darius Slay this offseason. This is going to be a team that has a very solid defense that if the defense could jump to a more elite level, if Jalen Hurts can make a significant step in the right direction this year, which he showed promise last year leading this team to the playoffs, I think Philly could win 11 or 12 games. Like, I think they could be sneaky this year, but I have them at 10-7 to sort of, you know, catch the mean of what a Jalen Hurts progression could look like, and just expecting the defense to improve marginally, but not excessively. So 10-7, certainly a playoff team in this week NFC. But to me, the favorite in the NFC East should be the Eagles.
I love Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts a lot. And it's a little bit selfish, but he's also on my dynasty fantasy football team. So I really hope that he's good, but you know, dude's got a ton of talent, and you're right. It is dependent on Jalen Hurts and what he's able to do at the quarterback position. I think he's fully capable of being able to throw the ball better than he did, more efficiently than he did last year. And I think that, you know, with the addition of the threat of what he can do with his legs, the Eagles should definitely be a team that can compete for a division title here. And 12 wins is, man, that's bullish. But I also don't think it's that far out of the realm of possibility. Like, I think it's a very possible outcome for the Philadelphia Eagles. So,
well, I did have them at 10 wins, not 12. So.
Well, I know, but you mentioned the 11, 12 things as a possibility. Yeah, so,
right.
You know, it definitely is a possibility. I'm right there with you.
All right, Mitch, third in this division behind Dallas and Philly, who, again, we both had as playoff teams here. No other playoff teams from the NFC East for us. You had the Commanders third?
Fourth.
Fourth. You have the G-Men third. Of the, okay, well, so give me let's walk through their records real quick for the last two teams, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so they're both 6-11 for me. Okay. It was separated by division. The Giants 2-4, Commanders 1-5.
Okay. Let's start with the Commanders for a second, Mitch, because I actually had the Commanders at 8-9 and just sort of by a game missing out on the playoffs, right? Dallas was the 7th seed at 9-8, so a game goes differently here and there and the Commanders could make it in. I am not, again, this has a lot to do with the conference and the division that they play in, right? One, the division is weak. Two, the conference is weaker than the AFC. And if Washington was in the AFC, they wouldn't be sniffing the playoffs at all. But I do think there is a scenario in this weak NFC that they could do that. And really, it just stems on this defense, right? They didn't take the leap last year on defense that a lot of us expected to. Chase Young, didn't have that year that we thought, oh, Chase Young, he could be in the defensive player of the year conversation, right? He didn't have that leap. If he sees that this year, if this defense really, I mean, you just look at this front seven, this defensive line. I mean, it is nasty.
Montez great... Sweat, Matt Ioannidis.
Yeah, I mean, they are legit. And then on the offensive side, Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, and you're hoping that a decent offensive line, decent offensive line, it's not bad, and Carson Wentz can be enough on offense, but you're hoping the defense carries you here, and that's why I went 8-9 because of the offensive questions here and the Carson Wentz questions, frankly. I mean, it really just comes down to that. If they had a competent quarterback at the helm, I think we could both feel more confident about Washington being a playoff team, but Wentz is just such a question mark still. That's what hurts it for me, and that's why I didn't have them sort of in that group, just missing out there at 8-9. But I do think they could be there with the right scenario. I do think they could be a wild card team. They're going to need to see something from that quarterback position, though.
Yeah, I had them at 6-11, and I think that with Carson Wentz being such a big question mark of, you know, is this guy really as talented as we thought he was when he came into the league? He's really right now just as good as what Taylor Heinicke was going to be. So like until he proves me otherwise, yep. I have no reason to put them higher than that 6-7 win range.
Well, yeah. I think that's interesting too, if you say that, because I do agree with you based on right now what we know. Right. And they were 7-10 last year. So you had them one win less and I had them one win more, right? That's like, I mean,
and that
might be the only difference, right? It might be the only difference with Carson Wentz is it might be a game one way or the other for Washington, but certainly they took the gamble, two third round picks.
Completely wrong and they win 10 games, but you know what? Yeah. Until we know,
of course,
I can't put them.
Yeah. Well, and I know we didn't love their draft. Jahan Dotson didn't love that pick there. You know, Brian Robinson Jr. at running back when you already had Antonio Gibson. And I didn't love what they did with the draft either. And you know, if you hit on a couple of those picks, certainly that helps. And so we'll see how that goes for the Commanders.
And I love Brian Robinson real damn tied. So
of course, right. But just for the value there and where they're at in that position. Mitch, the Giants, you had them at 6-11, third in the division. I had them last of the division at 4-13. I mean, I'm not going to be high on the Giants. I don't know many people who are going to be. In fact, I'm going to be very low on the G-Men because I do think that this is a first-year head coach special where you're hoping to finish in the top five, the bottom five of the league, so you could secure a top five pick. You could get your quarterback, if you're Brian Daboll, the quarterback that you want, and you're just hoping to see who on this roster is worth keeping after a year. You know, who are the building blocks? Who are the guys you actually like, or is everybody else just, you know, move on? Daniel Jones, like Saquon, all the wide receivers, like it doesn't matter. Everybody is auditioning this year for the future on this team. So I think that's just going to entail a lot of losing. So that's why I went 4-13. They're tied with the worst record in the NFL for me with three other teams. So to me, Giants are securely in that bottom group of the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be as bad as people will think. You know, they had a good draft class. They were, you know, the we praised both New York teams for having good drafts. And I with the exception of the Wandale Robinson pick, which makes no sense, he's the exact same player as Kadarius Toney. Don't really understand that pick, especially with better options there. But outside of that, they had a really good draft. Healthy Saquon coming back, 6 wins seems really doable for the Giants. The big question is, and I think you should find this out as quick as possible, and I think they'll find this out by about week 8 or 9, is Daniel Jones the guy? You know, he has shown flashes over the last 2 years of, oh, wow, he looks great. And then, you know, the other 14 weeks out of the year, oh, my God, he looks like trash. And I think that you need to find a definitive answer for that if it hasn't been definitive enough for you already. That you need to find that out right now, and I think you should make that decision early.
Yeah, and I do think that I think for stretches of this season, the offense will look good. With Brian Daboll, this offensive line is improved, and it's decent now. It's not horrible. It's a decent offensive line. Like, you know, they've got decent weapons, but this defense is awful. So that defense is going to drag this team down throughout the season. And that's fine because, again, if you're the Giants, you're okay with losing. You're okay with resetting. You're just trying to figure out who are the pieces we're building around. And you're trying to figure out if Daniel Jones is worth anything to you moving forward. So, Mitch, that's it for the NFC East. Let's jump over to the NFC North, where last season the Green Bay Packers won this division with a record of 13-4. The Minnesota Vikings were second at 8-9. Chicago Bears, third at 6-11, and the Detroit Lions finished last at 3-13-1. No surprise here that we both have the Green Bay Packers repeating as division champs here in the NFC North. What did you have them going record-wise?
Had them 11-6. Had them 11-6. Those rats up there in Green Bay will win the division. Look, those
three seed, four seed.
Those rats will get the 4 seed.
4 seed. Okay. What's the rat thing, huh? What are we?
They're rats. They're scumbags. They're nobody. Wow. They're no goods.
Okay. We have Packers fans and listeners, but apparently you're saying fuck them.
Ask me if I give a shit. I really don't.
ask me if I give a shit. It's May, people. Come on. You think the rivalry dies in the off season? Are you kidding me?
You know, bear down all day. Fuck the Packers. I of course they're gonna win this division. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is there, he owns us. And if I have to get reminded one more time that Aaron Rodgers owns us, I will slaughter the next Packers fans that I see. I mean, it that mentions that. I don't even care if it's you, Jordan. I don't even care. I'm speaking right to you, Jordan. I will decimate you. The Packers 11-6, they lost their big weapon. Davante Adams goes over to Las Vegas. Aaron Jones is still there. They actually have probably one of the best 1-2 punches in football at the running back position in Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. I love AJ Dillon. I think he's going to be a great weapon for the Green Bay Packers to use. But man, the wide receiver room is just a huge question mark for Aaron Rodgers. But he's also Aaron Rodgers. He'll find a way to make it work because he's this stupid idiot that's good at football. And yeah, they win it. I'm done talking about the Packers. I'm done. The Bears stink. The A's stink. The Kraken stink. All my teams stink. And I got to talk about the freaking Packers. Are you kidding me? I'm done with this.
Mitch, I had Green Bay going 11-6 as well as the 2 seed in the NFC. And, you know, the Packers, this is a concern because obviously, like, they're going to be atop of this division. They're going to be a playoff team. What the real question about the Packers is, are they a legit Super Bowl contender? With the loss of Davante Adams, are they still in that upper echelon? And I, for the first time in a number of years, have some pause on that statement, right? I've been a guy who's on these way too early predictions, picking the Packers to win the Super Bowl because it just felt like Rodgers and this team, they were running, they were going boom, boom. But I mean, they lose Devontae Adams and they replaced him with Christian Watson, a wide receiver out of North Dakota State, and Sammy Watkins. Like, that's who they replaced Devontae Adams with, arguably the best wide receiver in the entire league. That is not good enough. That is just not good enough when the other two guys are Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, right? It's not like they had good wide receivers around Adams already. They had shit around him, and they haven't replaced him with anything good enough. Now, Christian Watson could ultimately develop into a great wide receiver, but he is going to be a rookie. So they're going to win the division. They're going to be a playoff team, but that concerns me. This defense, though, is going to be what carries them throughout this year, in my opinion. Adding Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker on defense in the first round to pair with some of the stars that they already have. I mean, this defense is legitimately stacked for Green Bay. This defense is legitimately stacked. And if there's any hope, if there's a path to the Super Bowl, if there's a path to winning it with Rodgers this year, it is, as you mentioned, two-headed monster on at running back. You pound the shit out of the ball. Aaron Rodgers does enough with what's around him, and this defense just plays top five all season. And that's the path. That's the path but it got much more difficult this year, and the margin of error became much less when you traded away Devontae Adams and didn't replace him with anything worthwhile. So that is the concern for the Packers. But I mean, they're going to win this division and they're going to make the playoffs. That's just a foregone conclusion. I mean, who's going to finish second, though, Mitch?
I mean, if I didn't hate the Packers already, they added those rats from Georgia to their defense.
We should just start referring to Aaron Rodgers as El Raton. Can we just start referring to him on that? El Raton. Ugh. I love it.
I'm trying to move off the
Packers, but you're dwelling.
What's Rat King? What's Rat King in Spanish?
El Rey de Rata.
Yeah, El Rey de Rata. Aaron Rodgers. El Rey de Rata.
Oh, I love that. There we go. Okay.
The Rat King, Aaron Rodgers. I got the Vikings finishing second.
Okay, same. 7-10 for Minnesota for me.
Oh, I got them 10-7 getting in the seventh seed.
Okay, Mitch has Minnesota making the playoffs. So this is going to be definitely something we differ on. I am not going to be in on Minnesota as a playoff team this year, but I want to hear you first. So give me the breakdown. Minnesota sneaking in as a seventh seed here, and then I'll give you my thoughts on the Vikings.
Healthy Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins getting the job done enough to get them there. I'm not saying that they're going to be a serious competitor in the playoffs, but I think that 10 wins is doable for the Minnesota Vikings. The defense, obviously a question mark, right? The defense was very hit or miss last year. And at some points looked like the worst defense in football, but you know what? I think Dalvin Cook will be the NFL's leading rusher at the end of the year by a wide margin. Give me Dalvin Cook to be offensive player of the year. I will stake my
going on the hill.
Fuck it.
Is it going on the hill? Let's do it. Okay, so do you want to say, I'm going to give you a chance to edit this there. Do you want to say offensive player of the year, or do you want to say rushing leader? Because if you want to change it to rushing leader on the hill, I'm cool with that. If you want to stick it with offensive player of the year, totally down.
I'm going to change rushing leader. Yeah.
Listen, if a running back won offensive player, they'd be incredible, honestly. So, I mean, yes, but I like it. Dalvin Cook, rushing leader 2022. Well, if that's the case, Mitch, then I could see them going 10-7. I guess if Dalvin Cook's going to have that kind of year, I could feel that.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's one of the better offensive players in all of football. You still have one of the better wide receivers in all of football, not just young wide receivers, one of the better wide receivers in all of football, Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins can feed him the ball all day long. I have confidence in Kirk Cousins. Maybe not to be he's a top six quarterback in the NFC, but I don't think that, he's anything past that, anything Super Bowl contending worthy. So give me the Vikings to go 10-7.
Okay. As I said, 7-10 for me on the Vikings, Mitch, and it's a couple of reasons.
And best record in their division at 5-1 is what I have.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Splitting with the Packers and sweeping the rest. So.
Yeah. My thoughts on Minnesota, and I do like the direction that they're going. Kwesi Udofa-Mensah, the new GM, young GM, very highly touted. So I think spent time with the Browns. I think he's going to do a great job here. Kevin O'Connell coming from LA to be the new head coach. I like these pieces, these foundations. I just don't think it's going to hit well in year one. That's just sort of the feeling I had. I think year one's just going to be sort of a feeling out process. And 7-10 again is like, so at times it probably looks pretty good. And then other times, you know, they go through some lulls, and that's kind of the issue for Minnesota this year. Outside of Justin Jefferson, they just don't have anything. They have an aging Adam Thielen, and then it's KJ Osborne and Irv Smith at tight end, right? Like, I mean, there's just not a lot outside of Justin Jefferson to make you excited and to give Kirk Cousins a ton of options. So it does feel like you're almost penciling yourself into having to be this run heavy team when you have an offensive line that is not built to carry that sort of load. Christian Darrisaw, Ezra Cleveland, Garrett Bradbury, Ed Ingram, Brian O'Neill. That's not a horrible offensive line, but that's a lot of young players and not a lot of experience. And I don't know if that's the strength of the team you're relying on. So offensively, that's my concerns with Minnesota. And then on defense, it's just not very good. It's not the defense that we saw from the Vikings that was, you know, 5 years ago that seemed like they could be Super Bowl teams with Case Keenum and Sam Bradford. I mean, whoever they are throwing in at quarterback, they had great defenses. They had great defense. They were in an NFC championship game, you know, against the Eagles that year. And it really felt like they could be that Super Bowl team because of the defense. And, you know, those guys are not the same, the ones that are there, and they're sort of rebuilding in that regard. They spent two early picks, Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth Jr., in the secondary. That secondary unit is going to be rough this year. So that's my concern with Minnesota. I do understand where you're at. If the Dalvin Cook thing, if he just carries this team, absolutely, I could see it. 10 wins in this NFC, absolutely, I could see it. But I'm going 7-10 here, but I do like the direction Minnesota is going. I just don't, I'm not buying it in 2022.
Okay.
You know who I did also having finished the season with a 7-10 record, Mitch? The Detroit Lions.
I had them 8-9.
You had them 8-9. I thought I was going to be the one bullish on the Lions, Mitch, and you outdid me by a game, you son of a bitch. I hate you. 8-9.
$401, okay. Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. F you, man. Listen, the Lions, they're going to just be sneaky competitive, right? They're just going to be in games. And we even saw it last year, like despite their record, right? I mean, they won they're 3-13-1, but like you go watch some of those games, especially the second half of the season, those guys are fighting, right? I mean, they're throwing third, fourth string guys out there and they're fighting against the Rams. I mean, that Rams game was a great, I mean, they threw the kitchen sink at them. Every trick play they had in the book, I mean, they threw everything at the Rams and gave them a run for their money. That's the Super Bowl champs right there. And so this Detroit Lions team is building in the correct way. I listen, the kneecap shenanigans aside, I really like Dan Campbell. I really like what he's building out here. And you know, in the draft this year, Jameson Williams, Aiden Hutchinson, foundational pieces, one on each side of the ball. Boom. You're adding that to Penei Sewell. You're adding that to DeAndre Swift, everything else you have, Jeff Okuda, and you're going from there. 7-10, 8 wins. Why not? I'm with it on this Detroit Lions team. They might be sneaky fun next year. They're going to be on Hard Knocks too. Even better.
I love Dan Campbell, or as the fantasy footballers call him, Guns Mahoney, because he's got some big old guns, you know. Big old biceps, guy's ripped. But look, very sneaky competitive. And I love Dan Campbell because he's old school. He's kind of the hoorah, you know, win one for the Gipper type guy that you kind of more see in college football. And he's bringing that kind of a little bit to the NFL level, that kind of that mentality. And I like that in a coach. I do. I know it doesn't translate well to the NFL, but I like that in a coach because it shows that he's passionate about what he's doing. I think the Detroit Lions are buying into it. And I think that What we'll see out of the Detroit Lions is a semi-competent offense. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a breakout year. Him and Jared Goff clearly have a connection and a relationship that is going to be successful for them moving forward. DeAndre Swift is going to be a factor in this offense. I don't think that he's going to be that top three back in his conference that we all think he's going to be, but he's going to be a serious factor because he can catch balls out of the backfield and he's a 3-4-5 yard a carry type of guy. I like this, and then TJ Hawkinson, the big weapon in the red zone. You can rely on him for big red zone targets. I like this Lions team. I really do, and I think 8-9 is very realistic. And I will go as far to say, Dallin, that the Lions, because I have them actually as the 8 seed in this scenario.
Oh no.
May knock the Vikings out for the 7 seed if the cards fall right. There's another hot take for you. That's what this is about, though. This is about hot takes, right?
Yes. No, listen, I love it. I almost think that is like the worst case scenario for the Lions next year, though. Like,
oh,
just
sure
reality,
it is.
Because
sure
you're
it
trying
is. Yeah.
to, like, get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. You're like, this is perfect. We'll just, we're the rebuild's working great. And then in 2023, we get our quarterback and boom, here we go. And then you go, oh shit, we won 9 games with Jared Goff and was a 7 seed. Fuck, now what do? Now we got to trade up in the top 3. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like the most Detroit Lions thing to do to, like, accidentally win too many games.
I don't think it'll happen. But there's a scenario where it can happen.
It's just fun, and we're feeling them. And you know what's also fun about this, Mitch? You know what? One of the reasons why I love this team is Dan Campbell, former player, right? He was a tight end, right, for the Saints for a long time, if I remember correctly. He's got all these fun former players on his coaching staff. Have you looked at their coaching staff? Running backs coach, Deuce Staley.
Deuce Staley, running back coach.
Quarterback coach, Mark Brunell, the Jags legend. And who their wide receiver coach is? Antoine Randall-L.
Oh my God.
I love that. Like, that in and of itself makes me want to root for this team. All those former guys that I grew up watching, I'm like, yes. Like, these guys got to succeed.
You know what's funny about Antoine Randall-L is he could probably be a quarterback's coach, because wasn't he a quarterback in college?
I think so. I think you're right, yeah. he can pull a little double duty if Mark Brunell gets sick on a Sunday.
That's a really fun coaching staff.
Yeah, yeah. Detroit's a fun team. Speaking of, actually, let's move on from a fun team to a not-so-fun team, your Chicago Bears. finishing last year. In the NFC North, Mitch, I had the Bears going 5-12. That's not a good season for the Bears. That's even worse than last season, and I felt bad doing it, but I just didn't know what else to do because they're just in a bad spot.
I have them at 5-12, and I'm going to be quite honest. That's too high.
That's too high.
They're going 0-17.
Okay.
They're going 0-17.
Okay.
We stink.
Oh, man. Stink. Play the world's smallest violin for my buddy Mitch.
We better get the number one overall pick. Justin Fields is a bum. We need to get another quarterback. Bryce Young. Roll damn tide. Give me Bryce Young. Get us out of here. We need something new. We need to charge the Bears. Darnell Mooney is our number one wide receiver. Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney. Did you hear me the first three times I said Darnell Mooney is our number one wide receiver? And what's our answer to it? We lost Allen Robinson. Hey, it's okay. We're going to solve the wide receiver issue. We're going to sign Dante Pettis. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing, Allen? No, I'm not done.
You said my name, all right? I thought I was being prompted. My bad. Now I'm done.
Go ahead.
Listen, Mitch. It's going to be bad.
I'm sweating.
I was going to go through the roster. I was going to break down why they're bad. We don't need to do it. Like, they're just bad. Here's what I'm going to say, Mitch. Listen. Hold on the Justin Fields stuff, because I remember a year ago, the moment that they drafted Justin Fields and the elation on your face and the joy on my face for you to get Justin Fields. Fields is going to be fine. But you secure that number one pick, Mitch. And first off, if you're the Bears, you want to be top three, top five, right? Because you are the prime trade back team now, right? Because you're going to have the quarterback and there's going to be teams coming, want to come up and get one. So great scenario if you're the Bears. But if you don't, and let's say you're at the 101 and you don't want to lose, you don't want to move out. Well, guess what? There's a great player from the Crimson Tide that you are pretty familiar with. A nice little edge guy by the name of Will Anderson, who'd be a hell of a player at the 101 or the 102 or the 103 or wherever the hell you find yourself in the Chicago Bears at the top of next year's draft. So, you know, you lose a bunch of games, not a big deal. Go get yourself Will Anderson. You'll feel pretty happy about him on the edge. So, you know, Chicago, again, this is not the offseason we wish that they would have had. They didn't add pass catchers. They didn't improve the offensive line. They didn't improve anything. They literally didn't improve a single thing on this team. But Mitch, silver lining here. You got to look at this. You got to look at this truly. It's the first year of Matt Eberflus, first year head coach, right? It's going to be bad. It was going to be bad no matter what this year. That's what happens when you let Matt Nagy stick around one year too long and waste Justin Fields' rookie year. But that's it. That's the past. That is what it is. So now it's about, you got to look at this. And the Bears got to look at this like this is Justin Fields' rookie year all over again. And honestly, the Jags should be doing the same thing with Trevor Lawrence after what he went through last year. Just wipe the plate. You're a rookie this year, okay? Like, we are – expectations are rookie. Everything is like it's your first year. Let's just get familiar. Let's get comfortable. Let's get a baseline of understanding, of knowledge, of talent, and then we'll go from there. And that's got to be the mindset for the Bears. It's going to be a slow build. You just got to be patient, my friend. It'll pay off.
Look, and they better not fire Coach Flus after 1 year if things go bad. Like, they better not.
Yeah.
They have to write him out. And down before we move on.
How patient they were with Nagy, I sure hope they do.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Right? Well, that was with Ryan Pace, so, you know.
Yeah, true.
And I got to end it on a positive vibe. I'm a positive vibes type of guy, so I can't end it on this sour note. Bear down.
Okay. Of course.
Now we can move on.
Y no tienes el rey de ratas. You don't have the rey de ratas, so you're good. Yeah, you don't have that
the
guy.
Rat king, we can get. Well, he owns us, though.
He is your owner. Yes, that is true. So there you go. All righty, Mitch. Well, let's get off. I'm gonna do you a favor here. We'll get out of the NFC North. Let's move over to the NFC South.
Thank God.
Mitch is done. I don't blame you. The NFC South, Mitch, last year in the NFC South, Tampa Bay Buccaneers won this division at 13-4. The New Orleans Saints, 2nd and 9-8, just missing out on the playoffs. The Atlanta Falcons were 7-10, and the Carolina Panthers, my Carolina Panthers, at 5-12. Mitch, much like the NFC North, we both had the same team repeating as champs. Pretty straightforward. I don't think this is particularly close. Tampa Bay wins this division. What was their record for you?
You just assumed I had Tampa Bay winning that division?
Yeah, actually, I did. Yeah.
You'd be wrong, my friend. I'm kidding. Yeah, it's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I was like, come on, Mitch. I was like, there's no way you're that high on the Saints. I mean,
11
like,
and no. I'm not high on the Falcons. What are you talking about? No, it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 11-6, 6-0 in the division, the three seed.
I think
Tom Brady coming back will be fine. I mean, I think that he'll play great. I mean, he just put up one of his best seasons of all time at age 44. But, like, I think that with everything that went on in the offseason with Tom Brady, there will be a little bit of a downward slope for him. I think that he kind of went through a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions. Not to say that he's not fit to go through that. He certainly is. I mean, he's one of the most mentally tough athletes in sports history. But there's going to be some regression, and especially from a 45-year-old quarterback. So 11-6 still seems right about on par. I mean, the endless list of weapons that are around him on the offensive side of the ball. The defense is still going to be good. I believe Todd Bowles is taking over that situation over there in Tampa Bay. A perfect fit for Tampa Bay and a well-deserved position for Todd Bowles. Tampa Bay is still going to be a serious contender in the NFC. I got him at the 3 seed, 11-6.
Yeah, 3 seed, 11-6 for me on Tampa, Mitch. Listen, the defense is going to be great. That's the calling card of this Bucs team. And Tom Brady was great last year, don't get me wrong. And we'll talk about the offense in a second. But, I mean, this defense is where it's at. They added another piece in the second round in Logan Hall, right after trading out of the first. He'll go along with Joe Tryon Shoyinka, who they drafted last year in the first, Vita Vale on the defensive line, the second level. They added Shaq Barrett off the edge. So, this defense is going to be really, really good. The offense, I wonder if we're just sort of penciling in offense going to be good again, like whatever. No Bruce Arians. That's either going to help or it's going to hurt, right? It could help, right? I mean, I've seen some reports that, there was a little disconnect between Brady, Leftwich, and Arians as far as what really, sort of wanted to happen there. Perhaps that's a piece of why Arians moved on and Tom Brady came back, right? We don't ever know. So maybe that helps that, right? But no Rob Gronkowski. Yet we'll see if he does come back, but Rob Gronkowski still sort of a question mark out there.
They're fine at tight end though.
Besides, I mean, they've got Cam Brait and a rookie in Cade Otton. That's the tight ends. And then you've got Russell Gage, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. I don't know if this is not the same passing unit and the same receiving core that there was a couple years ago. This isn't as nearly as talented as a group as it has been. And the offensive line lost pieces, and they did trade for Shaq Mason, but there's still going to be a hold at left guard that they're going to try to fill and make do, and we'll see how well that does. And all these guys, a year older, Tom Brady, a year older, Ryan Jensen, a year older, right? All these guys on defense, it's like, I'm with you there that it's just not going to be quite as good as it has been the last couple of years, though, because of how weak their division is. And just how weak the NFC is as a whole, they're still going to be one of the top contenders and certainly going to be in control of the NFC South. But I'm going to be a little less so on Tampa Bay this year, I think.
Where do you have them record-wise?
So 11-6, same record as you. So, okay. And they were 13-4 last year, so we had them each drop in a couple games, and that seems pretty fair.
I'd say it's fair.
It's probably about spot on. So, Mitch, did you have any other playoff teams from this division?
No, I did not.
Okay. Who'd you have second?
I had the Saints at second, 7-10.
Saints 7-10 as well.
Yeah, I just think Jameis is going to put on another 30 for 30 season, where he's going to have a documentary about 30 touchdowns,
how many interceptions, 3 throws.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be a believer in Jameis. I really do. I think he's got so much arm talent. His decision making though is just so poor. Like once he gets back in the pocket, it's so poor. And I really want to be a believer in Jameis. I think they'll win some games. They'll probably lose some tight games. I just don't think that this Saints team is there. 7-10 is where I got them. And that feels about right. That feels about right.
Yeah, and I felt very comfortable with them at 7-10 as well. And they went 9-8 last year, and Jameis didn't play. I mean, they played Ian Book, they played Taysom Hill, they played everybody last year, right, at quarterback. But you had Sean Payton, and there's no Sean Payton this year. And I do like the Dennis Allen hire. I'm totally cool with that. I thought that was a good spot, but we just can't pencil in like, oh, they'll figure it out like they have before, because he is not there and Drew Brees is not there. It's a whole different feel. And so, yeah, they need to get better in some ways. Trevor Penning, love that pick at tackle. They added, Chris Olave, which is going to be a huge piece for them alongside Michael Thomas. They brought in Jarvis Landry. So, like, there are weapons around Jameis if he's good. Alvin Kamara, like the offensive line, the defense, like it all should be there. I just don't think it works out quite as well as maybe we think. So 7 to 9 wins is sort of the range I see the Saints. Anywhere in there, it would make sense. If they sort of snuck in as a wild card team, wouldn't shock me. But I'm not going to be super bullish on them either. So that's kind of where I sat at 7 and 10. And again, felt pretty good there. I also had Carolina going 7 and 10. And technically, in my way too early, they finished second in the division at 7 and 10. So they tied with the Saints in record, technically second there. But I also had Carolina going 7 and 10. Where did you have my Panthers?
3rd and 6 and 11.
Okay, so yeah, just right there. And this is what I'll say about Carolina, right? Because it all comes down to the quarterback, right? This defense, you know, maybe a lot of the NFL isn't familiar with this defense because the Panthers haven't been a good team in a number of years. But there are some very young, talented players on this defense. And this was an average defense and at times an above average defense last year, despite how bad they were. Down the stretch, they suffered more injuries, couldn't really recover. But Brian Burns is a star already, if not waiting to emerge. Jeremy Chinn, Shaq Thompson. I mean, this secondary group, too. I mean, how much they've invested in years in this secondary. Dante Jackson, J.C. Horn, C.J. Henderson. I mean, this defensive unit is going to be very good. The question is going to come on offense, and it simply comes down to the quarterback. It just comes down to Sam Darnold, in my mind. I think this is Sam Darnold's job next year, unless he gets injured or shows horribly and they decide to throw Matt Corral out there. It is going to be Sam Darnold's job, win or lose. And I think that's how it should be. They paid him the 5th-year option. They can't get out of it. You might as well give him the last opportunity, the last shot. He's on your roster. You can't get rid of him. You've committed. It's past that point. Give him the shot, and you got to hope that the improved offensive line with Ikem Ekwonu, you added Bradley Bozeman, you added Austin Corbett. All of a sudden, this offensive line's not too bad. And then you've got DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey around him. And you're just hoping that Darnold is, you know, finally makes that leap, I guess. Finally shows what I guess he could. And obviously, you know, we'll see. I'm not very bullish on that happening, hence why I have them going 7 and 10. But I don't think this is a team that bottoms out like they did last year. Unless he gets injured, unless they suck, then they absolutely go bad and they fire everybody and they win 3 games and it's really bad for Carolina. So barring that happening, I'm going to go 7 and 10 with an okay Sam Darnold and a defense that's really starting to show it's going to be a premier unit for years to come.
I'm not a Sam Darnold guy.
Who is at this point?
I mean, you know? I'm not even really a Matt Corral guy. I think they lucked themselves into 6 and 11, to be honest with you. The defense, you're absolutely right. The defense has a lot to be proud of and a lot to be excited about. But outside of Christian McCaffrey and I guess the defensive, the wide receiver options that Carolina has to offer there. I'm not a big Sam Darnold guy, and I'm really not a big Matt Corral guy. Like, there's still a huge question to be answered at the quarterback position for Carolina. I don't think Matt Corral's the answer. He could prove me wrong, and I sure as hell feel super confident saying that Sam Darnold is not the answer at quarterback. So, yeah, Carolina's still a ways away in it, and it really just reduces down to what's the answer going to be at quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt, Mitch. And the final team in this division, the Atlanta Falcons. I had them winning 4 games, going 4-13 this year.
I want you to guess how many games I had or Atlanta win. Yeah, you guessed about twice as many games as I actually had them winning.
Okay, come on. Did you really?
1-16, yep.
1-16. Listen, Atlanta is in a reset. They're in a rebuild. They traded away Matt Ryan. You know, Calvin Ridley's out like the whole year because he's suspended for gambling. I mean, this is like they are just resetting. They brought in Marcus Mariota to sort of, you know, keep the ships afloat at least. You know, spent a 3rd-round pick on Desmond Ridder. I love some of the draft picks they've made, and I think this team is well set up for the future. they will do well to lose a lot this year. It's going to help them out in the future as well, and maybe put them in a position to draft a quarterback next year. So you're not trying to win if you're Atlanta, and
I mean,
you're
they should
okay
have had
with the losses.
They should have had the foresight to know that they weren't going to be very good and just save Marcus Mariota the trouble and just start Felipe Franks. Just start him.
Okay. Well, seriously, I don't think it's an interesting question because on paper you should, but like an NFL team has never tried to tank that badly, right? Like, I mean, except for the Jacksonville Jaguars starting sixth round pick Gardner Minshew in 2020, right? Other than that, like, it's really rare for a team to just fully just throw it in, you know, like the way the 76ers did in the NBA when you know, the like when that was
whatever,
when the process was really happening, right? Like, teams in the NFL don't just absolute, like, they always have at least one competent quarterback on the roster, right? They are like, they always got to go get that Mariota, or they got to go get Tyrod Taylor, they got to get the Ryan Fitzpatricks. They won't just do it, but they should just say, Nathan Peterman, you're coming out of retirement, you're our guy. Please win us zero
just
games.
Start Felipe,
you know?
Franks, man. It's like, yeah. It just, that makes sense. But
I mean, they're paying Mariota like $10 million a year, and it's a good opportunity for Mariota to get reps and potentially rehabilitate his career. But yeah, I mean, Atlanta, yeah, it's rebuild time, baby. You're hoping for Stroud or Young or whoever it is next year of the draft.
Well, I pray for my boy Bryce Young that he doesn't go there. I just pray so hard that he doesn't go there.
Right. Well, it's because apparently you're hoping him. He goes to your Bears. So, you know, there you go.
That might have been a little bit of an overreaction, but okay.
Really, I didn't notice. Mitch, the last division. Oh, I love doing this with you. The last division we have for the podcast today, the NFC West. Last season, the NFC West, the Los Angeles Rams won this division at 12-5. Arizona Cardinals were second at 11-6, San Francisco Niners, third, 10-7, all three of those teams making the playoffs, and then the Seattle Seahawks finishing last in the division at 7-10. Mitch, I have the exact same order in this division in 2022 that we saw in 2021. And and it starts with the Rams at the top, which I'm presuming you had as well.
Yes, I did. Yep, 12-5, 6-0 in the division.
12-5 for the Rams. You, I had them at 14-3, best record in the NFL, and number one seed. And you know what? Part of it is, to me, I don't think they're the best team in the NFL, right? I think Buffalo, I think Kansas City, for sure, I would put them ahead of Los Angeles right now. But the Rams are the best team in the NFC, and it's not close in my mind, which is why I have a 3-game difference between them and Green Bay and Tampa at 11 wins respectively, right? Because that's sort of the gap I see right now. For me, it is the Rams as the clear number one, then Green Bay, Tampa Bay in that next group, and then it's like Dallas, Philly, Arizona, you know, that sort of group after that. But the Rams are the clear number one to me in the NFC. This is not a strong conference, and that's going to help the Rams. And coming off the Super Bowl with Matt Stafford, with what they've done, they lost some pieces, but they're going to be just fine. I mean, they lose Robert Woods, they're bringing Allen Robinson, right? Like, they lose Von Miller, but like, I don't think that's going to be too much for them. They lose Von Miller, but they bring in Bobby Wagner, right? It's like different players, they do different things, but like this, they're not going to have a problem acquiring talent. They're not going to have an issue trading a first or a second round pick at the trade deadline for whoever star comes available that they feel like they need. Right. Like, the Rams are going to make the necessary moves to be there at the end of the year. And now that we've seen them do it and win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be even more confident that they could do it again, which is something I was already last season as I had them in the Super Bowl last year. So I am big on the Rams, and I'm going to be this year, hence the 14-3 record for me.
I have the Rams as the one seed. I have the Rams as the one seed in the NFC, 12-5, 6-0 in the division. For all the reasons that you just said, man, love the Rams. Love the Rams. They've seemed to only just reload on the offensive side of the ball, and defensively, they're still like, you know, just studs all over the defensive side of the ball. What Sean McVay and the front office there in LA has built is just a powerhouse, and I love this Rams team to be potentially, and we'll talk about it soon, maybe a potential repeat appearance in the Super Bowl coming this year. I mean,
all right. Well, we'll get to that in just a second here.
Maybe a little foreshadowing.
Wrap up the division. Okay, so Rams at the top. Who did you have finishing second in this division, Mitch? And this will be the only other playoff team in this division for you.
Yes, it would. This would be the 6th seed San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, 6th seed Niners, which means that the Cardinals don't make the playoffs. We'll get to that in a second. Let's talk about the Niners. What was the record you had for San Francisco?
10-7. I
had the Niners at 9-8, 6th seed as well, also making the playoffs. So we're right there, just a game difference, but we both see the Niners as a wild card.
Here's the question. Who did you have playing quarterback for them?
Honestly, I didn't think about it, to be honest. I literally didn't think about it the whole time because I don't think it really matters for the ultimate outcome of this team. Like, it might make the difference a game or two as far as the win column. If it's Jimmy G, maybe it's a little better early because there's not growing pains, which is something that happened as I picked these out with Trey Lance. But ultimately, I think there's still 9-10 wins. You know, I this is the same sort of team, the same type of winning. It's just going to maybe look a little different throughout the season.
Yeah, I had Jimmy G playing quarterback. So that's where I had 10-7, but Jimmy G playing quarterback.
Yeah.
There's still tons of weapons. I think they retain Deebo Samuel. I think that the running game, no matter what they put out there on the field, is going to be a viable option for them. I mean, we've seen Kyle Shanahan do this for years, and it's just over and over again, no matter what his running back room is, he makes the most out of them, and he turns them all into kind of very viable running back options. So I love what San Francisco is going to keep doing. What Kyle Shanahan's plan is with that offense. The defense is always going to be a stellar, I think, and love what San Francisco has going on. I think the 10-7 with Jimmy G at the helm is a very viable option.
Yeah, I mean, this Niners roster is fantastic. We know that. It's ultimately just the question of the quarterback. And, you know, it's the reason why last year they made the NFC Championship game but came up short, right? It's the quarterback. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's why they traded up for Trey Lance last year, and that's why we would presume that he's going to be the guy that gets the shot this season. And again, we'll see, because Jimmy G's still on the roster. They could start the season with Jimmy G as a starter and ease Trey Lance in. We don't know how that's going to happen yet, but that will be, you know, sort of the one thing to monitor here. But outside of that, I mean, this Niners team made the Super Bowl a few years ago, and they made the NFC Championship game last year. Like, this is a really talented team. So, like, let's not overthink this, whether it's Jimmy G or Trey Lance. Like, this is a playoff roster as long as they're healthy. And Kyle Shanahan has proven that year in and year out. It is just a matter of what the quarterback position looks like and health, because when this team has been healthy, they've been there. And when they haven't, they've been really bad.
But that's
seen them struggle with the injuries, you know, year after year. So, you know, other than that, I mean, the Niners, they're a really good team. There's nothing to overthink here.
But that's the interesting thing about the San Francisco 49ers is, barring like the super detrimental, oh my God, this is a cornerstone of our team injury, they always find a way to get it done. Like, and that's very evident in what they do in the run game. Like, who knew who Jeff Wilson was before three running backs went down in San Francisco? Like, he finds a way. Kyle Shanahan finds a way with his guys. And so, like, even if they're a little bit banged up, I'm still confident San Francisco wins 9-10 games, even if they are a little banged up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they certainly I think the Niners deserve the benefit of the doubt, right? And we give the benefit of the doubt in these projections to certain teams and not others. The Niners are one of those teams that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they've proven it. They've proven they can win. Sure. They prove they can find talent. And I think we're both going to trust that there. So Arizona, let's talk about the Cardinals here, because I did have the Cardinals making the playoffs at 10-7. So a game up on San Francisco. They were the 5th seed wild card team there. Right about there felt fine. I think they won 11 games last year. Where did you have the Cardinals record wise?
kind of fitting that we wait till the last division to be the team I'm pretty low on. 7-10.
Wow.
Cardinals missed the playoffs.
Okay, so Arizona 7-10. Let me talk you through where I'm feeling on Arizona, and then I'd love to get your thoughts on why you're not going to buy in on this, right? Because this was a playoff team last year, a team that started, what, 8-0. They were the last undefeated team remaining. It seemed like they're really rolling, and then, things go off the rails in the second half of the season, and it's been an up and down offseason, to say the least, right? Kyler Murray drama, but he seems to be happy. They trade for Marquise Brown at the draft, which should surely satisfy him. But then they also lose DeAndre Hopkins to what, a 6-game suspension with the performance enhancing. That was what it was, right? The performance enhancing.
The PEDs, yeah.
PEDs, 6 games for DeAndre Hopkins, who they'll miss. So you're gonna have to deal with that at some point. And get through that. And this defense, I think the defense is solid. It's also young, though, and can continue to grow. And that's sort of my optimism with Arizona, is that as the team develops, the defense can carry more of a load than the offense has had to. And that will sort of ease the burden on Kyler Murray and probably make him play even better. So I'm still going to be high on Arizona as far as like a playoff team. Now, I don't think they're Super Bowl contender or anything like that, because I don't think they have an elite unit. I do think their defense needs to improve more to be there, and in their offense too, for that matter. But I do think this is a playoff team, and I would be shocked if they not only finished below 500, but like missed the playoffs. I'd be pretty surprised.
I just feel like the defense, with as young as they are, there could be a year of regression, and that this defense could take a step back, not be as good as they have been in recent years. Kyler Murray going to lose D-Hop for the first 6 games due to PED suspensions. The run game, less dynamic. I think it was a better run game with Chase Edmonds there when you can combine him with James Conner. Now, James Conner is the lead guy there with, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know who the second guy is there. I think
Daryl Williams.
As Daryl. Oh, that was recent. That was like in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, before that, we're talking like Eno Benjamin, right? I mean, yeah. Like, or I their mean, sixth round pick this year, Keontae Ingram. So, yeah, I mean, not a lot behind James Conner right now. But and, running backs are a dime a dozen. You know, you can find those guys on the waivers, you know, as far as backups go. So,
Sure. But nothing beats a lead. Nothing beats a solid, dominant lead back or a tandem of two guys that can carry that workload together. I just feel like when the going gets tough, Kyler doesn't really step up. And we saw that last year when they started 8-0, and then they had that big slide there at the back end of the year. When the going got tough, Kyler didn't really step up. He actually played really bad. We all remember that playoff game. That playoff game was bad for Kyler.
Sure.
So
it's his first ever playoff game.
And
how many quarterbacks have had a horrible showing in their first playoff game?
I understand that. I understand that. But, you know, that's what separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks, is they're able to step up in those situations. And Kyler is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's great yet. And there's going to be some early season woes that he's going to have to deal with. He's had all the offseason drama. Who knows if that carries over into the regular season. The defense, I think, though talented and young, is primed to have a little bit of a regression. I just don't feel like Arizona is a playoff team right now. And that could change next year. But right now, 2022, not feeling it. Yep. 7-10.
Yeah, you know, I get it, Mitch. I am a bit surprised, though. I'm going to be honest. I am a bit surprised. I mean, not just based on where they were last year, but also just how weak this conference is. I guess my issue with Arizona is, like, if I take them out, who do I put in, right? Where the difference is, like, you had Minnesota in – I had Minnesota 7-10. So for me, there's like not a lot of other playoff teams, which is why I do think the Cardinals will make the playoffs. Even if they aren't a great team, they might just like get in anyways. But I could see the sort of step back, especially with just how hot they started last year and how good it looked. And then it just didn't. And I do think, like, I think less so on Kyler Murray. This needs to go on Cliff Kingsbury. right? Like, you're the head coach. You're the one who's supposed to be fostering this situation for success. You're the one who's supposed to be able to set up all these guys for success, right? Like, what has Cliff Kingsbury done? I mean, he was on the hot seat, arguably, going into last year, right? If he doesn't start the season 8-0, like, he could be on the hot seat going into this year, right? The only difference was that they started so well and they became a playoff team that, you know, everyone kind of forgot about it. But, I mean, Kingsbury hasn't been anything to be impressed by as a head coach. And so, you know, another year of stale offenses and a step back from Kyler Murray. And you know, I mean, who knows? Like, you could see changes there as well. So I do think that Arizona's in a tricky spot. They need to make the playoffs again. They need to make the playoffs again. They need to see progress. And I don't think either of us really see them making much progress, if any at all. So will be interesting team to watch. Mitch, the final team in the NFC West, though, Seattle Seahawks. Finished last in this division in 2021, and obviously after moving on from Russell Wilson, certainly with Russell Wilson, I say it every time, dude, fuck his name. I love his wife, though, Sierra, amazing. yeah, Russell Wilson, whatever, you know, Russell Wilson, whatever, hurt his widow finger, you know, we all remember that. I have the Seahawks going 4-13, Mitch. This is... like, just like the Falcons, think about how we talked about Atlanta. Same deal. They're resetting. They're looking for a top five pick. Just figure out what pieces are worth building around on this team and get rid of Pete Carroll and go from there. Like, that's the game plan moving forward for Seattle in my mind. And unfortunately, it's going to be a rough one up there in the Emerald City.
Yeah, I had him at like the third overall pick, 2-15.
Well, 2-15, the third overall pick, is a shitty draw for the Seahawks. If they only won two games and they didn't end up with a top two pick.
Well, look.
Unfortunately for them, Houston and Atlanta just decided Houston to be absolute garbage. So
we're going to have some garbage teams. I have a feeling.
Apparently. You know, I do see that this is a trend. If you guys have noticed this over the years, Mitch always has teams with extremely low records. Like, the high records, maybe not so much, but you always have teams with like one or two wins. Like, every time we do one of these, there's always a couple teams like that. It's just a trend I've noticed. Shock, you know, when you're low on a team, you're low. I love it.
It's shocked the Bears aren't 2 or 1 win team right now.
That's true. Yeah.
That low on them.
0-17. Jeez.
That'd be stink.
Anything else on the Seahawks you want to add?
No, I'm good.
Like, no, you're good. Yeah, you kind of just generally avoided that, I noticed, but that's fine. That's okay. There's not a lot to say.
They're bad.
Drew Lock, right, baby. I think they should start Geno Smith all year. That's my take. Don't start Drew Lock. Start Geno Smith. He deserves it.
How about they sign? Oh, here it is. You talk Brett Favre out of retirement and start him for 1 year. No. I think he could still sling it.
Does he even do the Wranglers commercials anymore? Like, if he can't even throw it in a commercial, can he even throw it in real life?
He doesn't have to throw it deep. He's
just going to run it off to Ken Walker every time, bro? They have no one. DK ain't catching 5-yard hits, bro.
Fine. Okay, so they put Brett Favre in on running downs, right? So when they're going to run the ball, they put Brett Favre in. And then they put Drew Lock in there to throw the interceptions that need to
throw the deep bombs to DK that get picked off by the free safety in the middle of the field. Yeah,
bingo.
Perfect. I love
bingo.
It. Easy. Sell tickets, lose games. That's a winning formula, Mitch. Okay, so that's it for the NFC. We did the AFC earlier. Let's go through the NFC again and give our playoff teams from the NFC 1 through 7 seed, and then we will give our Super Bowl predictions.
Okay, so I got the Los Angeles Rams at the 1 seed, the Dallas Cowboys at the 2 seed, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the 3 seed, the Green Bay Rats at the 4 seed, the Philadelphia Eagles at the 5 seed, the San Francisco 49ers at the 6 seed, and the Minnesota Vikings at the 7 seed.
Okay, I had the Los Angeles Rams as the 1 seed, the Green Bay Packers as the 2 seed, Tampa Bay Bucks as the 3 seed, Philadelphia Eagles the 4 seed, Arizona Cardinals, the 5 seed, San Francisco 49ers, the 6 seed, and the Dallas Cowboys as the 7 seed. So as far as the Super Bowl goes, Mitch, this is what I want to give you. Give me your pick from the AFC. We had the Cincinnati Bengals from the wild card, from the 4 seed all the way into the Super Bowl. last year. Who represents the AFC in 2023?
I will give you an AFC matchup. I am going with the Cincinnati Bengals returning to the AFC title game to face the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills will prevail in dominating fashion. Get Josh Allen and the city of Buffalo back to the Super Bowl. I like the Bills to be representing the AFC here.
Okay, yeah. You know, Mitch, I had the Bills as well. I have Bills as the 2 seed over the Chiefs as the 1 seed in the AFC in the conference championship game. 5 years in a row, Kansas City hosts an AFC championship game. And this time, yet again, they don't get through. It's the Bills. Josh Allen gets revenge. That's what I'm hoping for. A rematch of Bills Kansas City from last year. This time the Bills head into the Super Bowl. So we both got Buffalo out of the AFC. How about the NFC?
Sneaky one. I have the Rams, the 1 seed, facing the Eagles, the 5 seed.
Wow.
In the NFC title game. I think the Rams pull it off in close fashion to get back to the Super Bowl, a chance to repeat, a matchup of the 1 seeds. So Rams over Eagles in a close one, and we get a Bills-Rams Super Bowl.
Rams over Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly, baby. Jeez.
All right. I had
them winning the division. I thought I was the one that was high on them.
I told you I didn't have them win the division, but I love the Eagles. I think they can do an NFC title game.
Apparently. I see that. No, listen, Mitch, I had the Rams 1 seed hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the 3 seed. And Matt Stafford sends Tom Brady into official retirement with a NFC championship game loss, and the Rams go back to the Super Bowl. And we both have Buffalo in LA in the Super Bowl in Phoenix in 2023, which is what, by the way, one, it'd be a fantastic matchup, but two, I love that we both picked this, Mitch, knowing that the season kicks off on a Thursday night in September with the Rams hosting the Bills. To start off the NFL season, and what a way it would be to end the season with that exact same matchup, but this time in the Super Bowl. So, Mitch, Bills, Rams, Super Bowl 2023. Who's taking home the Lombardi?
The Lombardi Trophy. Totally avoided its location for 4 consecutive years in the early 90s. It is finally going to come to the city of Buffalo. Please, God, let it happen. The Buffalo Bills will win the Super Bowl in 2023. Give me the Bills over the Rams. 24-20. I'll give you a score even.
Okay. Mitch. For the ghost of Thurman Munson.
Let's go! Gotta
do it. Give me Buffalo over LA. I'm not picking repeating Super Bowl champs. That's just too easy. And it just feels like this is Buffalo's year, right? Everybody else sort of got worse. You know, the Chiefs didn't get any better. I mean, a lot of the AFC teams did get really good, but I don't think they're much better than Buffalo. And there's not really a team out of the NFC outside of LA that would really scare me if I was the Bills. So, yeah, we got the Bills, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. We're riding on the Bills Mafia. We're riding on the Bills this year. Let's go.
Well, you heard it here first, which means that the Bills will not win the Super Bowl. So don't put bets on that. Don't get your hopes up if you're a Bills fan. This is not going
to
happen.
Who did you pick to win the Super Bowl last year? Did you pick the Rams?
I think I might actually pick the Rams. Actually. Yeah, I think I picked the Rams over the Ravens, if I remember right. But,
I think you picked the Rams. So like.
So actually, what we're saying is this is the problem, though, Mitch, is because I picked the Bills, which is good for Bills fans. But then you picked the Bills. which may not be good for Bills fans. So they might sort of cancel each other out in a way. But, you know, because you picked the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl, and you know.
No, I didn't pick the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl.
You picked them to go, at least. So, I'm just saying, maybe it's not the best of luck. Maybe it's not the best of luck.
I think I picked the Bills to win last year, actually.
You did. Yeah, Bills Seahawks. Over Seahawks. That's what it was, yeah. You were just a year late is all. It's fine.
I'm fine.
Easy.
I'll pick the Bills for every year from now on. Just pick the Bills. It's going to happen at some point. It's got to happen.
You can't always be wrong.
Come on, Bills Mafia, for the ghost of Thurman Thomas.
Oh, man. Mitch and I will crush some Buffalo wings on Super Bowl Sunday for the Bills if they win. That'll be a great time. We would love that.
Am I coming out there again next year, or are you coming?
I think it's my turn to come see you. I think that's how it works. All righty. You love to see it. Well, guys, that is it for the Way Too Early NFL predictions. That's it for the podcast today. This has been fun. Again, if you guys have been listening since the beginning, you know that this is what we do every time this year, right around the anniversary of the podcast. We sit down and do the Way Too Early predictions. It is a lot of fun. Chance, as we said, to stake our claims on certain teams, give some hot takes, and they were plenty in this podcast, as you heard. So we appreciate you sticking around and listening. As always, if you don't already, give us a follow on social. The Twitter is at Sports Hour Guys, Instagram at The Sports Hour Guys, the TikTok at The Sports Hour Guys. You can also follow me on Twitter at Lil Thoint. Mitch, remind the people about Anchor.
Let me ask you guys something. Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Do you want to ask a question on here?
Yes.
Do you want us to answer your question and give us our shitty hot take on your question?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so then you should go to anchor.fm/thesportshourguys and leave us a voice message. That's the only way that you can become a part of the conversation. Well, maybe not the only way. You can also go ahead and leave a question on the Instagram if you so please. But go on anchor.fm/thesportshourguys, leave us a voice message. We will play your voice message right here on the podcast and answer it for you, tailor-made for you. It's a custom answered question that you want answered here on the Sports Hour. We will make it happen. That's once again anchor.fm slash the Sports Hour guys. Go ahead, head over there, leave us a voice message, become a part of the conversation. You can listen to us anywhere that you get your podcast. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. Tell us that we suck, because Dallin, that is the only way that we can get better.
It is the only way, my friend. It is the only way. Listen, guys, this has been a chock full podcast, and we appreciate you being with us every week as we dive into the world of sports. It is so much fun, and we love doing it, right? We enjoy it. We enjoy it.
My favorite.
Oh, yep. Okay. Mitch's favorite. Well, he's a half glass full, half glass. Glass half full kind of guy, yeah. You know, that makes sense.
First time
in I know. It's been that kind of podcast, I guess. Well, I guess, guys, just don't forget. We love you. We appreciate you. Mitch is a simp. And we'll catch you next week.
I love you, Annie Agar. Welcome to the world, Parker Brooke. And keep fighting hard, Barrett Alexander. We will catch you next week. See ya!